Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And this is Hot Sauce.
And this is another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I got a serious topic to talk with you guys about right off the bat.
Oh, here we go.
Right off the bat, here we go. We're getting deep.
Getting all loosey-goosey right now. Let's get these fucking questions answered.
Definitely right. Magic related, except not. I was watching Forrest Gump earlier today.
Sights taken.
And I forget if we've talked about this or not.
AIDS babies?
Yes, that is the direction we're going.
I mean, you don't see the baby, but you know the baby's coming.
Well,
or do you see the baby?
You see the kid.
Yeah,
the kid.
Oh, I don't remember.
The kid's like 8 or 10 when he meets him, or
no,
six.
He's like 4 or 5.
Okay, whatever.
8, 10.
Dude, that
he's
numbers.
Under, he's under.
He's
18.
Got like a year left with his dad.
So okay. You know, I think they have sex like one time finally, and then like she like leaves the morning after, and then she goes and does whatever.
All kinds of dudes.
Yeah, she does whatever you do, and then
Jenny was a bitch.
And
she's a filthy whore.
And she's cute though.
She sends Forrest, a card. Hey, come see me. And then so pretty much after she's just like gone and done whatever she wants to do in life.
Yeah.
Gotten high. Fucked a whole bunch of dudes, gotten AIDS, and now that she know that her like death is imminent, she's like, oh, hey, let me get this retard to fucking take care of me while I'm dying and then take care of my child for the rest of his life because I'm not going to be there anymore. Like, how fucked up is that?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, that's such a good movie. Like, yeah, it's a good movie, but like...
I hate Jenny. She's a complete bitch.
If you really think about it, she is such a selfish cunt.
Oh, but Valiant.
She fucked his life over.
Yeah, force him to be slow, but all the dude wanted to do was love her, man. Like, all he wanted to do was be there. And him not have a kid, like her not tell him, like, that's so fucked
no,
up.
No, but it's not his kid.
Part of the movie it is.
No.
She names it after him.
But it's not his kid. She's just tricking him into taking care of her drug AIDS baby.
Do you know that? Because, like, it doesn't say that in the movie.
Well, afterwards, it talks about him, like, running for, like, you know, however long, running across America 3 times. So, like, yeah, there's no way.
I think we're a different opinion on that because, I mean, as far as what the movie shows, like, that's his kid.
Okay, so.
I'm pretty sure as well.
So, that means she gave him AIDS. Like, what the fuck is up with that? Either way...
Well, no, she could have got AIDS after she fucked him.
I'm pretty sure she got AIDS when she was gangbanged at the Coke Panther Party.
Should we stop the podcast, watch Forrest Gump, and get back to this conversation?
I don't know. I was thinking about it. I'm like, how fucked up is this? Either way you look at it, she's just like, yeah, I've lived the life I wanted to live, and now I'm just gonna fucking dump all this shit on you. Slow motherfucker.
Despite the child debate, the rest of that, yeah, she was a really, really fucked up person.
Yeah.
I think they like to be
selfish as fuck.
That's like, you know, if they made a movie about that today, you know, people would be like
social justice warriors.
Yeah, people would be like
protesting.
She's abusing the
No, she is empowering her body. She is not a whore.
Well, was empowering a lot of dudes' bodies, apparently, and got the HIV and just fucked him over. So, anyways, I just thought I should throw that out there that, like, that's a fucked up movie. That's like a horror movie. That's what that is. Preying on mentally challenged men and then giving them life-threatening diseases and or AIDS babies.
And then she, like, won, like, an Oscar or something. What the fuck is that all about?
Well, that's the actress, you know.
No, it's not. She actually had it.
Yeah, she actually had it.
It was literally a documentary.
Mama's little whore.
He should have just ended up with Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
They would have been fucking bros.
I'm surprised
together.
He got work after that, being so mentally challenged. Like Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Dude, believe me. Actually, that was the fucking... The sequel was big, right? Philadelphia. The sequel.
Philadelphia,
right?
There you go.
That was the sequel, I'm pretty sure. It's one big connected universe. They're all documentaries, but they trick the public into thinking that they are
like
high budget movies.
Like, that was the prequel to Malcolm in the Middle. He retired as Hal. That's when he got away from his family and all that jazz.
Okay.
Breaking Bad.
And then
he became Hal from.
And then Breaking Bad came after?
No, Breaking Bad was first, because when he escapes
he
runs from it all.
I thought you were talking about Tom Hanks with AIDS.
No. I'm just doing another comparison.
And the government was trying to start an island where they put all the AIDS patients, and that's the Castaway.
Is that where, like, wait, Castaway was from a boat? Did he get stranded from a boat or a plane? Did they set this up for the crash? Okay, so okay, where did Wilson come in play all this?
Wilson's his lover.
Yeah, because it can't get AIDS. Ah,
well,
okay.
No, he already has AIDS because it's his
no,
blood.
No, but he can't get, so he has to not have a woman in his life or a man even. He has to have an object so that
an
he
AIDS
cannot
ball.
Transmit eggs anymore. Eggs. It's like eggs.
Because he was hermaphrodite.
It's like
so he
AIDS,
had eggs
but
first.
It's like, you know, it's in a big white volleyball egg. Eggs. They
AIDS
call
ball.
It eggs.
That's like the worst. Imagine like AIDS ball is like you know you know what's that where you throw that
dodgeball
but instead of you get hit you get AIDS.
Oh
yeah, when you get hit it's not like you're out of life.
Yeah. The timer starts.
Are you positive? Are you HIV positive?
They go, how long does this game last? It's like, actually the game begins when you touch the ball.
Yeah.
Then the timer starts. It is not in the beginning of play.
Hope you have good insurance. Anyways.
Okay.
To those true listeners who are still left, let's get into what we usually talk about, the classic podcast segment.
We just lost a lot of listeners.
How has your week been?
I'm going to start on this one.
Go right ahead.
So we're going from AIDS. We're going from AIDS and almost dying. I'm going to tell my hospital story from this last weekend.
Fantastic.
So, I almost died. I don't know how close, but apparently almost died. Sauce mentioned, you know, you saw Baby Metal.
I saw fucking Baby Metal.
Yeah.
Motherfucking Baby Metal up in Hollywood.
So that was like, they were the headline of that show.
Fucking killed it.
So my brother's birthday is 5 days before mine. And a buddy of mine, he mentioned something on Facebook, I want to see a concert soon. And a buddy of mine's like, hey, I have some extra, like this, I know a girl who's trying to sell her tickets to the Korn show. Korn and Stone Sour or whatever, were coming to town. And neither one of us were like big fans of them. But like, I like old Stone Sour when Corey Taylor was still there. And then Korn, like, whatever, you know, back in the day, who didn't like listen to a song or two and enjoy it enough?
I mean, yeah,
it's like kind of done.
Perfect age, because we were like 13 when the good shit was coming out.
Yeah, I definitely had a Korn t-shirt when I was in like 7th grade.
I have a Korn sticker from a fucking Mexican shop, so.
And I still watch Korn on E-Fucked.
Yeah, Korn! Come on, Korn! Congratulations, Korn.
Anyways, so he walked up to my room. He's like, hey, you want to go to this concert with me? I'm like, oh, sure. And I started looking. I was like, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure Baby Metal's playing that show, because I was down to see them. Sure enough, it was Baby Metal show. So me and him were having a good time. We go down there, fucking like Chula Vista Amphitheater or whatever, and you know, having some drinks. I get some sour beer at this liquor store. We go in, get in there. Baby Metal's playing. Have a good time watching Baby Metal play. And like during the middle of Baby Metal playing, I'm starting to get like super itchy. And at first, I'm just like attributing that to like, you know, when you just start to get like hot and sweaty. Like, sometimes you get like the pins and needles of like the, you know, the sweat going. I'm like thinking it's that, but I'm like, no, I'm like digging into my arms now. Like thinking I'm like this isn't right. Like whatever, you know, listen to the rest of the show. You know, the Baby Metal was awesome. And then within 5 minutes of their show ending, we were walking out to like the concession stands and wanted like buy a shirt and a beer. I looked at my arms and my arms are like just super red. My hands are swollen and blotchy. I'm like, well, this doesn't feel right. something's going amiss. And I'm like, my brother's like he's like freaking out because he already had his girlfriend die of the bee sting. And he's like, so he's starting to lose it a little bit.
I didn't
bit.
Realize this was the same person with you.
Yes.
This is a good part of the story. This is good.
I only have one sibling. And yeah, so my brother is like, this is his birthday. And he's watching his brother go through some kind of allergic reaction, which his girlfriend died to, a bee sting. And which if you've listened to the cast, you know that. So I'm like telling him, no, I'm good, because I don't have any allergies. Like, I've never had, this is my first allergic reaction to anything. And I'm like, you know, whatever. Like, just, you know, I'm like, telling him, like, dude, I'll stand here.
Give me another fucking beer.
Go get me a beer. Go wait in line, get me a beer. It'll be cool,
I'm not going to miss Stone Sour no matter what.
No, I just don't give, like, he's like getting worried. I'm like, don't worry about it, because I don't give a fuck. Like, allergic reaction. I'm itchy. What the fuck does that matter? I'm not breathing heavy, like, whatever. And so he steps over to the line for a second. I remember, like, putting my hand, like, on this little beer kiosk for a minute. And like, just for a second, I put my hand down, and next thing you know, I'm like, I'm like, it's like dream state. I forget what the dream was, but I was having some dream about something. I think that, you remember. And then I'm like, I kind of realize that somebody's like talking to me. I'm like, so I kind of open my eyes. I realize I'm on the ground. I apparently passed out for the first time in my life. And some of this like nice bystander guy, I don't know if he had some of their training, but he's like kind of waking me up, and he's asking me all like the typical questions, like, do you know what your name, what year it is, who the president is, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to answer them all fine. But I'm laying there, and I'm, like, all kinds of, like, lightheaded and dizzy and, like, blurred vision and shit. End up getting, like, you know, my brother, and I hear my brother on the background, like, screaming at security guards to get help, and they're trying to tell him, like, because they're doing their job, they can't leave their post, and he's getting pissed off, dude, fucking something, get somebody over here, and eventually, the on-site, like, EMTs pick me up, and I'm in a fucking, I'm on the gurney, going past, hear everybody, like, talk shit, because, you know, just like anybody else, you think, you see somebody get picked up in an EMT at a show like that, you think, okay, that asshole just got too drunk, and he passed out, or something like that. And so I hear people making jokes. I'm not getting mad. I'm like, I've made the same jokes before. People get on the gurney.
Well, you're a horrible person.
Yeah, well, whatever. Shit, life's
somebody
life.
Passing on a gurney. Fucking pussy.
Yeah, that's basically what I was hearing, which is, you know, understandable.
That guy's going to miss the show.
Now, this time, Hot Sauce is the same show, because he's going on this one as well. Didn't you say, like, you didn't see me on the gurney, okay, but you heard people talking shit about
I'm
people?
I'm texting him like crazy after Baby Metal. I'm like, okay, let's fucking meet up. So we'll get a fucking beer. Let's hang out. Texting him over and over again. I call him, no answer. I'm like, what the fuck? And yeah, fucking the stretcher goes by me. And there's like, I remember it because there's like some Asian chick pushing it. And I'm like, oh, look, it's one of the members of Baby Metal, you know, stupid joke. And the thing goes by, whatever. I don't think much of it. And then,
you're like,
yeah.
Hey, you're texting him, some pussy just went by in a gurney. Yeah,
yeah. Some big fat ass, ugly looking motherfucker. Just fucking insult after insult. That'd be amazing.
And so, you know, I'm sitting there, and my brother's still freaking out, and they're trying to ask me questions, and, like, and they're about, you know, face mask, you know, the oxygen mask on me and shit, and, like, I'm trying to answer questions, I feel, like, fine overall, but they're, like, all, like, kind of freaking out, because apparently I was looking pretty fucked up, I guess, you know, but the whole time, I'm just cracking jokes, because, for one, that's how I deal with that kind of situation, and two, like, I couldn't imagine, like I said, I've never had any allergies, I'm sitting there going, like, I can't imagine an allergic reaction to something taking me out, like, I wasn't really worried, but... Whatever, they give me like a shot of Benadryl or something, and like they're trying to get me to go in the ambulance. They get me over into the ambulance. I'm like, I'm good now. Like, I don't want to go to the fucking $10,000 ambulance ride and shit. So I ended up asking them to bring my brother around and ask him, like, hey, dude, like, I think I'm good, but I'll go to the hospital if you want me to, because I know it's his birthday. Like I said, I know he's already freaked out.
Yeah, for your
like,
birthday.
He's like,
I'll
dude,
go to the hospital.
Please just go to the hospital. Like, okay, man, for you, I'll do it. I think I'm fine, but I'll do it. So the whole way out of the hospital, I'm joking with the fucking EMT who's like watching me, and I'm cracking jokes and I'm laughing because at one point, some I remember some girl was trying to put, you know, the like when they take your blood pressure with the armband on you, and like I was trying to joke to the guy like, yeah, that girl like there, she's trying to put the armband on my arm, but my arm's too big because you couldn't get it on. I was like, yeah. So I'm having a good time. I'm fucked up, but I'm like, I'm just laughing. I felt great, and then the fucking ambulance, I'm like, this is stupid. Like, whatever. We go to the hospital, into the ER, and they're like, oh, you think you can stand up and move yourself over to, like, the actual ER gurney? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I sit up, so you know, get on my feet, two steps in, I'm like, oh, shit. Get all lightheaded. By the third step, I'm like, half falling and like getting myself onto the gurney, and next thing you know, I'm surrounded by like six nurses and doctors, and my face is turned, you know, sheet white. My lips are blue as fuck. I'm again like, I guess for a second I passed out again, and I'm, you know, back to waking up, and they're all freaking out and like, you know, going real fast. I'm like, I'm still like cracking jokes and getting comments like, and then finally, because at the venue, they didn't want to give me a shot of
EpiPen.
Yeah. And so, like, in my head, like, as far as, I don't know everybody else's view, but I've never had an Epi, but, like, I just picture, like, the whole adrenaline rush of an EpiPen kind of thing. So I'm, like, making jokes about, like, an uppers and whatnot as they're fucking all working on me. And then I finally hear this one, like, nurse go, yeah, give him the Epi shot. I'm like, yeah, uppers! So I'm just, like, everybody else is freaked out. I'm joking and making laughs. And, you know, after that, you know, I passed out, but... And I ended up having to, like, sit in the hospital there for a couple hours. But it was overall, like the fastest ER trip I've ever had. I got in there, like, 9, got out there, like, 11:15. So
they shot you the EpiPen and everything freaking worked itself out, basically.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but, I mean, I guess it was, like, a scary situation between, you know, I passed out twice. I never passed out before. There was nothing allergic reaction. And kind of, like, the more I thought about it, I was pretty sure it's from the sour beer I had. Because they used different bacterias in that. And I think this little shitty liquor store, like, didn't store it properly. So, like, the bacteria's turned and, like, attacked my system.
Or you're allergic to good beer. I mean, that could definitely
That's an honest answer.
No, I've had plenty of good beers and sour beers and
plenty.
Things.
Plenty.
Well, your version of good beer is questionable.
Look,
at
look.
Best.
When I say good beer, I'm not including PBR. I love PBR, but when you're, I understand like the class you're trying to put in, motherfucker. I've had plenty of them.
Yeah, Newcastle. That's not what we're talking about.
No. When I realized that Newcastle had caramel coloring in the beer, I'm like, nope, never again. Like, it doesn't taste good to me, anyways. But I was still just like, okay, they're literally changing the color of the beer on purpose. Like, that is a fucking. This is wrong. This is wrong.
So yeah, that was interesting. Missed the rest of the show, but the main band I wanted to see, Baby Metal, I got to see them and almost died seeing them. I texted these guys finally,
super hard, dude.
Texted these guys, I was like, told them certain what was going on, that would happen. I'm like, yeah, Baby Metal rocked so fucking hard that they melted my fucking brain, passed out right after. So
pretty much true. And you missed your shirt. I'm sorry. I would have bought you one had you told me. You should have just told me.
I was fucking passed out. What do you want from me?
Just fucking, I don't know.
So yeah, that was, interesting as fuck. Kind of a new experience, and got my wife and family, everybody all freaked out. They gave me like, now I have like two EpiPens at home, because they're all like, oh, these are just in case. Now my mom and my wife are like trying to get me to carry around everywhere I go. I'm like, look, I never had allergic reaction to anything. I'm not carrying these everywhere. Shit happens, whatever. But allergic reaction is not gonna kill me. I'm too much of a stubborn asshole for that. So yeah, that was my hospital
trip.
Pretty
goddamn insane.
Kind of like I said, I'm talking about it as if it wasn't actually intense, like there was, not big deal, but
well, you
I
went
guess
in
it
the medical
was.
Tent, right?
Outside of it, I don't know. I guess.
Why? You trying to make a joke based on it?
Yeah, yes, yeah. I went in the medical tent.
Yeah.
To make your joke.
You just said it wasn't intense.
Oh man. They got me.
Yeah, really. That was awful. Stone Sour sucked, by the way.
I knew they would.
And I didn't watch Korn. I literally left there to go sing karaoke. Yeah, I didn't get to bed till like 12:30. Pretty bad.
Yeah, we would have joined you, but I was in the hospital.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I didn't even know it too. But apparently, when I passed out the second time, I guess I pissed my pants. I didn't.
Oh, really?
I didn't know it till I got up. I was like, wait a minute, I knew I was like, I had gotten like super sweaty that the whole period because like my body was like shaking itself out. Whatever.
Ice on the cake, right?
I was
there,
got up. I was like, wait a minute, I think I pissed myself. that was interesting.
Nice.
The next weekend, this last Sunday, was actually my birthday as well.
Yay, happy birthday!
So, sort of downtown, went to the Potter game with my family and stuff, so nothing like big. We had a hangout that Saturday for our little gathering for it, so that's about that.
Which we'll talk about shortly.
Yeah. Have you guys seen Logan yet?
Have not.
So, didn't you say X-Men's your favorite?
No.
Okay, that wasn't you guys? Okay. Anyway, do you enjoy X-Men overall?
Yeah, X-Men's
like
cool.
X-Men comics or X-Men, like, world.
Yeah, I mean, X-Men, yeah, the world is cool. Like, video games are super sweet.
Yeah,
I was playing, like, Genesis or whatever. And, I mean, I've never owned a comic book, let's just say that. I remember borrowing them from friends and shit like that. But, no, I don't really know much about the universe and all that stuff. I've seen most of the movies, and I did rewatch all the Wolverine movies from the past, whatever, the three movies they had, I think it was, to, like, lead up to Logan, but I never actually saw Logan. We just kind of
fizzled. Well, I'll tell you this. Logan, far and away, is the single best X-Men movie ever made.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but fantastic.
It's dark. They went into the realm of R-rated because they wanted, they saw how much success comic books that were doing that, like Deadpool, or how much success it had, and they did a really good job. It's definitely a darker tale, and it's fucking good.
Yeah,
man.
I've heard nothing but good things. I'm excited to see it.
It brings like real life things into it, like with fucking Professor X getting like basically dementia kind of thing, so with mutant powers as strong as his to go through an actual like thing where you're losing your mind, like that is dangerous as fuck for the rest of everybody else.
Gotcha.
And so there's a bunch of things too, and I really suggest seeing it, man. Logan was very, very good. Like I said, far and away the best X-Men film.
Interesting.
I know things about it from like things being spoiled and this and that, but I don't want to bring it up to like ruin anything for anybody.
Yeah,
else,
I've so. Just heard it. From sources I trust and sources I don't trust, that it's a good movie. So,
yeah, I definitely suggest I rented it at Redbox. So I mean, $1.50 for fucking viewing it, and it was really good.
Is this sources you don't trust right here?
It depends.
Yeah,
I trust him more than I trust random people. If that makes you
feel thank
better.
You. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I trust you more than I trust strangers.
More than
like,
a bum with a 27 layers? Do you trust me more than that guy?
Literally the lowest tier, except for people that I've not met yet.
In regards to certain subjects, like we talked about with Punk, yes, I trust his sensibilities. With movies, you're starting to prove yourself. But, you know.
I'm glad our friendship depends on me proving myself to you. pretty sure you've had some pretty good conversations.
Beer choices.
I hope women be here.
Beer choices is one of them, yeah.
What else? Oh, something else just for my own sake. I was super stoked to they announced that, you know, Players Unknown Battlegrounds. We talked about that a little before. I haven't watched that a bunch between that and H1Z1 King of the Kill.
Right.
I am very excited to say that Players Unknown Battlegrounds is actually going to be released as an Xbox One exclusive. And I believe it's supposed to come out later this year.
Nice.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So I'm
stoked
as fuck on that. Like, they just actually have been watching, I've still been watching a bunch, and like just yesterday, the day before, they released the newest patch for it, and it just looks really fucking good now. And like, there's obviously more things for them to work on, but they're obviously keep tweaking and tweaking. But like that, this latest update, this latest patch was just fucking awesome. So like, I'm just stoked it's coming out to Xbox.
I almost bought the H1Z1 whatever, but I don't know, because it was on sale. But for some reason, the PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, it seems a little bit cooler to me. So
yeah, H1Z1's a little faster. But as far as technical play and picking up scopes and doing things like that, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is far and away above.
Yeah, I've watched some streams lately of that, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna get it eventually, just because you need one of those like just multiplayer games, whether it's like Titanfall 2 was that for me. Where it's like, yeah, sure, it's got a campaign, and I appreciate that there's a campaign in there, but it's like, I have it just for multiplayer.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, for sure. Like
Left 4 Dead.
This whole survival type of game is really taking off. People are like trying to jump on that bandwagon quickly. So like on Xbox right now, there's a game that's in like pre-alpha stage or whatever called The Culling. The Culling. Mm-hmm. And they have like a 2-hour demo you can download. And I was just like sitting there watching these other videos, and like, well, I don't know nothing about this. I know this is like super like twitched out and fucked up. Reading like the reviews, it's still really, really basic so far. I'm like, yeah, whatever. 2-hour fucking preview. I'll go ahead and download it. And yeah, it's a piece of shit. I mean, like what they're doing, like it can get there, but they're starting so much more like melee weapons and shit that it's like it's just not what's going to be really good for that style of gameplay overall. But yeah, it's most of my week right there. Almost dying, birthday, things like that.
Nice.
Almost dying. That's the part I like.
Jinx, I go first. My week's been pretty, non-lethal.
You've been feeling safe the whole time, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've,
You're not living, bro. You got a little life on the edge.
No sour beers.
You almost die sometimes.
Sour beers were my favorite.
I really like sour beers, so I was really bummed that this
towards the end of my active using, I was like going to breweries and stuff like that, and so sour beers were my favorite. But alas, now I put all my money into Steam sales, specifically the Steam Summer Sale. Of course, Steam has crazy sales all the time, and I got an email from Steam saying, hey, 15 out of 15 things on your wish list are on sale. And I went, oh, fuck. And I went on there, and I forget exactly what I bought, but I bought a couple games, Unhappy Ever After, which is just...
Never heard of it.
Simple little RPG game, like original Final Fantasy type of stuff. Trin 2, which seems pretty cool,
kind of like
a side scroller. Titan Quest Anniversary Edition.
Aha, I don't know that one either.
Yes. What else?
Ones you've found on like Twitch or something like that, or you read the description and it sounded good?
I just, when I'm trolling through fucking Steam and I'm just like, oh, that game looks kind of cool and old school. Limbo was on sale, of course, gotta get that.
What was that, like $3?
Something like that.
I hope it was.
All of them were like $5 and under.
Yeah.
So Limbo, I never played it, always seen it. Looks super cool. Heard good things about it. What the fuck else? Braid? No, I think I had bought that before. Transistor, which is...
Transistor's dope.
Before Bastion.
After Bastion.
After Bastion.
Yeah, Bastion came out first.
Gotcha.
And then Transistor came second. Both great games. Bastion's better, but I mean, Transistor's like... It's different.
Yeah.
It's really good. They're really fucking good games.
And then I got another game called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. all these are like either side scrollers or isometric or like top down view.
So do you know about Brothers?
I do not.
Okay, so Brothers
just from what I saw in the videos.
Okay, so okay, then you know that. Then Brothers is where like you control two brothers, so one with the right stick and one with the left stick.
Right.
And it's fucking the first 20 minutes you're like, God, I cannot do this. This is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Trying to like do puzzles with fucking yeah, it's
kinda like
your brain's cut in half, dude.
Like Mario and
Bowser. Split in twain, actually. Sorry, I had to get that in.
Mario and Luigi's Bowser's Inside Story on the DS. So you use A to control Mario and B to control Luigi.
Okay.
And they can both hit with hammers, or you have to like sometimes like get to certain levels, you like have Luigi jump on Mario's head to jump to a higher ledge, and the whole time when you move forward, like you use one joystick to move them both, but you have different interactions.
Right. It's basically that, but 3D world.
And it's an RPG, so like those games are actually, there's two of them in that series, and they're actually really fun. They're really good.
It's fucking interesting that they branch out so much. It's like, if you don't pay attention to it, like Mario franchise has done a lot of wacky shit, you know? It doesn't hit like the mainstream a lot of times, but like
some of the Mario games. Sports games are really fun. Like Super Mario Baseball is fucking a really good game, and then like Super Mario Strikers was really good too, a soccer game, a lot of fun.
So that's pretty much it for what I picked up on the Steam sale. I know there's like a bunch on there. I'm probably gonna go back tomorrow.
We will say that fucking Steam will take your money though, not a lot of your money, because I mean shit's cheap. But when a Steam sale happens, you're like, I might not even play this, but like it's $3.99 and I could care less.
Yeah. It's like that one day that I'm like bored and I don't know what to do, and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I have that one Steam game I bought like 2 summers ago. Let me try that out.
When I'm not working, it's like my job is to finish video games. I like literally like have it in my I have like some this little note list that's on the side of my computer screen, and I just like have... I input, like, what I have to do for the day and, like, little things coming up, whatever, little projects I'm doing. And then I input, like, books that I need to fucking read. And then I need to put, like, video games I need to finish. And I just make sure that, like, when I'm bored and it's a Saturday morning and I'm like, no one's... I have no plans for, like, the next 8 hours. What am I going to do? I look at that list and I'm like, I either knock something out, you know, as far as, you know, home fucking bullshit, or I just go right to, yeah, finishing a video game or something like that.
Have you guys ever got into the Dragon Age series?
Yes and no. Like,
he's the one to talk to. I haven't played it.
So the weird thing about that is like Dragon Age Inquisition is the only one I've played.
Right.
And I had nothing bad to say about it overall. I enjoyed playing it. The problem was when I got it, because I didn't get it right away. I got it after like it had been out for probably a year or something like that. And I was playing it probably like 20 hours in maybe, and I was enjoying it for sure. I can't remember what came out right then, but some other game I was really excited about playing came out, and it was another RPG. It might even have been Skyrim. I don't know what the timeline was, but
gotcha.
Something along those lines is something that I was really excited about. That was a really good game that ended up taking my time out of Dragon's Inquisition, and so I haven't gone back to it because I started getting into that game.
It's probably been like 4 years anyways.
So. But have you played that one? Is that what you're asking?
The reason I bring it up is because on the Xbox One market... the Dragon Age Origins, the game that was on the 360, was up
maybe
for
it's
free.
That. Is Inquisition second or first? Origins is first?
Inquisitions was, like, more recent.
Okay, so Origins is the one I played then. My bad.
So, Origins, super cool game. It suffers from the, like, SNES RPG where there's just, like, a bunch of talking.
Yeah.
But this is where there's a bunch of cutscenes. So, I feel like, you know, I'm already, like, 4 hours in. I feel like 2 hours of that time is spent in cutscenes, and there's not enough action. And I'm like, fuck, I really, like, enjoy this game, but
I remember it slowing down a bit, because it was, like, heavy, heavy on that to begin with, and then you start getting the gameplay, and it doesn't happen as... It still happens, but there's a lot more gameplay as it goes.
I think that's the way that they... I'm guessing that's how it is. I think the introduction part, you know, it's going to be a long story to tell, so I'm sure they have to get a lot of world building in the beginning, and then probably like on hour 8 or something like that. Like 10 through 20 probably is probably where all the good shit's at.
Right, and that's part of the game is like, you know, your decisions matter sort of game, where like if you answer a certain way, then that dictates what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if you're familiar with those type of games, you can kind of tell when like a major story decision happens.
Yeah.
Because it's just... it's just a dialogue choice, just like any other dialogue choice, but you're like, I think
depending on the situation,
is,
though, like,
really
oh, do I go to this dark town and help out my ranger brothers, or do I go to this light town and help out the evil guys or whatever?
All you need to know is that every decision you make is wrong. That's basically what it comes down to.
Of course.
When you get done with a decision and then you go like an hour past it, you're like, that's probably the wrong move. Every time.
Yeah. I remember when, I can't remember like the exact moment, but I remember like most of the time growing up and playing those kind of games, like I would try to like stay, I would like try to like be the light side, like want to be like doing good. Cause it's just like, that's a natural like thinking of like a moral side of things. Like I want to help the good guys. I don't want to do something evil or stupid or evil and mean or whatever. And then I remember like there was just this time I was like, you know what? I think I want to be the dickhead. I'm like, you know what? It's probably like, fuck this moral shit. Like, I want to go evil now.
I'm going
to
be
and
naughty.
And so like now for the most part on games like that, I go to the dark side. Like, even with Star Wars Galaxy, like I've so much more farmed in the dark side instead of the light.
Well,
so
like
I enjoy going for the evil guys now.
Yeah, Star Wars: The Old Republic has a lot of that, where you know, you can choose like light side or dark side. Mm-hmm. And it's like, always choose the light side. Always fuck over somebody, and then like, you know, have somebody die.
You mean always choose the dark side?
But yeah, betray their trust, yeah. And you know, fun shit like that. So yeah, that's the games I've been playing. I've been reading. I'm on the last book of the Han Solo trilogy. finally finished book two. I'm on book three, and it's just really a really fucking good trilogy.
Okay,
everything about it's cool. You get to learn like very in-depth stuff about planets that you really didn't know, like Kashyyyk. Like, you know, the Wookiees are there, and like they're kind of like, it's kind of like a slave planet thing going on, but you don't know like specifics how they like live in the trees. It's really like Coruscant.
They're just giant Ewoks.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. It's like Coruscant, where like the farther you go down, the shittier it is. The closer to like the actual like dirt
in the ghetto.
Yeah, exactly. And
so I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think they are going to pull from the Han Solo books for the Han Solo movie?
I think there's certain key aspects of his story that,
like, have to be there.
That have to be there. Mm-hmm. Like his hatred for slavery.
Okay.
And I won't go into all the spoilers, but just like, he grew up really without parents, and he kind of got picked up by this like street gang sort of thing, and like, all the street gang was mostly non-humans. So there's like a lot of like, I guess, for lack of a better term, racism or speciesism against non-humans. So he's like totally against that, and he's totally against slavery and all
that
stuff.
You're already giving me a bunch of information I actually didn't know, so it's interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, even though he's like, you know, kind of a...
scoundrel?
Yeah, scoundrel and a smuggler. He still kind of has like...
He's got a good heart. You can tell he's on the light side,
so he's got the heart to him.
All
just,
bitches like him, dude, because he
doesn't
like,
take shit either, though.
Bad boy shit, but then on the inside, yeah, he's a puppy
sometimes
dog.
Sometimes he's got to cap somebody, you
sometimes
know
he's got to suck that daily dick.
Yeah. And,
different story, my bad.
I just read about how he got the Millennium Falcon.
Okay,
that'd
be interesting to know.
Yeah, so it's like all this cool background stuff. So
did he like bet all on black? He fucking doubled
well,
up his money.
He mentioned it in the movie, so it's not a spoiler. But he won a game of Sabacc off of Lando, and so he got the ship.
He bet it all on black.
Bet it all on. Well, he did because he was playing against Lando, and he fucking won. He won. So. other than that, I convinced my girlfriend's friend to give me her Hulu password.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a little more dirtier.
No, I mean, this is way better than anything she could offer, you know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
okay.
Hulu, I mean, I'm already on Netflix, but Hulu just, like, finishes out
give
the
me your
catalog,
password, too.
Finishes out the catalog, basically. Like, they got a lot of stuff Netflix doesn't. They have some anime things, one being Tokyo Ghoul, which is a new anime on Adult Swim. And I didn't know what to make of it, and it's kind of fucking cool, kind of weird. So if you're you know into animes, check that out. I only fucks with the English dub. I'm not down with all that reading bullshit. If you know what I mean.
You remember a while back you talked about like a top 10 like list of like things you don't want your parents to walk in while you're watching anime wise. And there was that one you talked that was like super fucked up. It kind of got you a little like half queasy where the brother and sister were fucking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I accidentally came across that like video clip of it. It was like a half of an episode. And I was like, this has got to be what Knife was talking about. Because, jeez, this does not feel right.
I'm sure there's like a bunch of it out there, unfortunately. But like, I think the thing that made it weird was like the girl was really aggressive. And the the kid was like, he was younger, and he was just like, eh, like he almost kind of didn't want it. I'm like, oh god,
like he's like trying to, was it where he's like trying to like fight himself to her wanting it, but he kind of like, yeah, he's like trying to play a video game and like ignore her, but she's like trying to like whisper in his ear and shit.
Something okay. Like that. I don't know, like, but it was just like,
if it wasn't the same one, there's another one like it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So there's that. That's it for me. I don't know. I caught some people fucking at work.
I want to start right off.
Nice. Wait.
Fucking
wait.
What?
At work?
I caught some.
There's
people.
Only dudes there.
Well, no, no, no.
Doing
fucking
drugs?
No.
Sucking dick?
They had a visit.
Playing poker.
They had a visit.
Playing.
Oh well, you're just cock blocking them. What the fuck? Why can't they fuck?
Because it's my job.
To fuck them.
Yeah.
Nobody, I will satisfy your needs.
Nobody gets those holes.
Bring out the cattle prod.
What was that game again that Hanzo was playing? Squee?
Sabak.
Sabak. Cool.
Sabak.
They're playing that.
Sounds like a Mortal Kombat character.
You can actually like download that on the Android Market and play it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah.
I want to get right into it.
Get it, girl.
To Betrayal. Ooh,
yes.
At House on the Hill.
Ooh.
New board game that Mr. Knife City Alchemist.
Let's go in the better category and call it a tabletop game. It's a different thing.
What?
Know
it's
what
like
I mean?
Half and half.
It's a fucking board game.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's a difference between like Monopoly's a board game. There's the new shit now is tabletop games where they have more interaction and more in depth.
I will just call it a board game. Anyways. It's a board game that so and so just fucking brought over. He's like, hey, you want to play? What is it? Star Wars Rebellion, which had this fucking rule book that was like 700 pages,
and it says each game lasts 15 hours.
Yeah, and it says like, this does not give you a full description of the game. Please go to this website, you know, to finish off the rules. I'm like, oh my god, okay. So, and it has like literally hundreds and hundreds of game pieces.
Yeah, Rebellion.
I mean, it looks like it'd be fun if we were to put the time into learning it, but there's like a lot of time.
We're gonna have
to
like
it.
Plan a whole day where we just sit down, like, okay, we're gonna tackle.
Read the rules, and then come play the next weekend.
It's like if you never played Magic, but like in a week you have to be the pro tour. It's like fucking, you just have to go ahead and do it all. So it's like way too much fucking work, dude. It's a full time job to learn this game. So we're deciding between this game, Betrayal, at House on the Hill or whatever, and this game. We're like, I don't know. Betrayal looks way easier to fucking learn than this goddamn game. And we had a full day. This was Crow's birthday game day, basically, where we had like 10 a.m. till the fucking the crack of noon
exactly.
Next day or whatever. Okay. So anyways, so we fucking bust this board game out. We watched like two YouTube videos, like some really quick, like let me just get like 4 minutes of people telling me the rules rather than reading whatever. We read the rules. It sounds confusing. We're all, you know, everyone's in the zone of like, I don't know if I'm going to understand this, you know? But that kind of feels like every game.
The fucked up thing about like really cool, intricate board games is that, you know, being Magic players, that's what we like. We like something that's not like easily understandable and blah, blah, blah. But like, as I'm reading the instructions, Soul and Crow and Hot Sauce are just like giving me like the 10-year-old like rolling the eyes, fuck, you know, like fucking picking their nose, not half paying attention, you know. And I'm like, these motherfucker. I'm like trying.
I'm
to
like, well, he's gonna read it. He'll know it. I'll ask him the questions I have.
Yeah. So halfway through, I'm just like, you know what? I'm sick of reading this, and I hand it off to Hot Sauce. He starts reading it, and immediately my reaction is just like, I don't give a fuck, you know. Like, same thing of like, he'll know. I don't want to fucking figure it
so,
out.
So once you start playing the game, which we'll get to like the idea of it in a second like that, it's easy. Once you actually get the pieces out there and you just follow like the very simple rules of your turn, like what you can do in your turn, and it was like super easy. So like we played, and then I played with another play group, and none of them have ever seen it, and I just told them what it was for like 4 minutes. We started playing it. Within like 10 minutes, everyone understood the game. You know, there was a little bit of like you have to look through the rule book to find out interactions and stuff, but otherwise, whatever. So this game has three initial, like, game pieces for it. There's, like, the ground floor, the second floor, and the basement. And you all have these, each of us have these characters that have specific traits on them. They're all the same traits, but, like, your level in that trait, like, your ability in that specific trait will move up and down as you play the game. And so you get your little person, and you move them around the house, and it opens up new rooms, and the rooms tell you to do stuff.
So think about just if anybody knows about Mario Party 7, I want to say, for like just the regular Wii. There's a map in there where like
you
go around and everything's blacked out except for the space you're in and the spaces you've been. Mm-hmm. So once you like, oh, you know, I'm going to think about like the in Zelda when you go into a dungeon, like there's doors on each side or almost every side. Yeah. And then like you go in there and then like that's uncovered, you know, the fog exactly. is uncovered. And so that's kind of like what it is.
Exactly. So we don't know. The thing is with this is that the layout is not the same. As you discover a new room, you have a deck, basically, of the room tiles, and you place the room tiles where you moved, but you don't know what tile it's going to be. You know that it'll say on the back of it what it can be in, so it could be for all the floors, or it's only specific for the basement. And you build the fucking house. You pick up...
Time out.
Oh, what do you do?
Mr. Knife is getting a new battery for his vape. He drops the cover, and his instinctual reaction is to grab it real quick. As he grabs it, he hits himself in the nuts.
I did not see
you
that.
You missed it. I saw it. I loved it.
Exactly what happened. I went to go grab it really quick, punch myself in the dick.
And he drops his head and goes, oh. It was great. Sorry.
Oh,
my
God.
No, we're good.
Next part of the game, anyways, is that when you discover the wrong room, you have to punch yourself in the nuts.
Yeah, important to note for the historians.
Yeah. So you build this fucking house, and once you get enough items and you do these little event cards, they tell you to fucking move up your stats and draw this thing and open these certain rooms and whatever else, then you eventually start doing these haunt rolls, what you call them. They basically, you roll to get the second half of the game to start. And when you start up the second half, what happens is three through six is the number of players you can have. And one person will end up being the traitor of the group, and the rest of them are heroes.
The person
who's
betraying the group who got you to come to this house in the first place.
Exactly. They led you to basically kill you.
Yeah, you're on the same team until the haunt.
And then one person, you know, they discover that they are the traitor. They leave the room with a specific booklet that has 50 different fucking little campaign scenarios, whatever. That you can run through, and so you guys, we both, by the time you...
And you don't choose which one you're going to do. It happens based on the game state of what's happened so far, and what room you land in when the haunt begins, and this and that. So,
yeah, so
like, it's random each time you play what you're going to do.
So there's one of the cards that you have is an omen card. The omen card, whatever that card is, at the time you did the haunting, whatever, and what room you're in, you look at this chart, and then it'll end up being one of these scenarios. Number 26, number 15, whatever. So the heroes all stay together. They read their book that tells them what the scenario is, but only enough information for them to win. Not the entire scenario. You know, they're not going to tell you all the details of what the traitor, the villain, is. So the villain will have his book. It tells the same thing. It tells generally what's going on and how he himself would win, but it doesn't say exactly what the goal is for the heroes and vice versa. So it makes it where you are, you know, cooperatively trying to beat the traitor or do whatever the scenario is, but you're trying to like be hush hush about it. You're not trying to leak too much information so that they don't have the upper hand on strategy. And so it's
like
really cool.
The traitor doesn't know the win con for the heroes and vice versa. So like Sauce was saying, you know, for instance, one game, me and Stone Crow, we had a specific objective we had to do, and, you know, obviously once Sauce was done reading his little booklet, he came back in, and we started playing the game again, and we have to, like, try and talk to each other and convey, like, okay, we have a specific objective about trying to get to this room, get an object, and then I have to go, like, basically go save So and Crow, and then we have to, like, get out through a
certain
room.
Well, I can just tell that one scenario. We can spoil one of the 50, basically, because it was really funny.
Yeah.
Like, the one that we did was, we all got shrunk down. This is all, you know, what the rules tell us.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, you Honey, Shrunk the Kids. We all shrunk down to the size of mice, basically. And me, being the villain, the traitor, I now have a monster token of a cat. And the cat is now out to... devour the mice or whatever. It's like the simulation that we're trying to run. It's like the rules tell you exactly the scenario, you know, the story. And so they're trying to get and find an item, which is actually a toy plane. Then they have to get the toy plane, discover it in a room, then start the toy plane, then move about the board. He needs to pick up his partner, or whatever remaining people there are, I'm guessing. We only have three people. And then you have to escape through a window, is what it was, right?
Right, yeah.
And you're moving that, and the cat is chasing them down and trying to knock them out of the plane, and then play cat and mouse with them for a turn. It, like, stuns them for a turn. And then...
tries to eat them.
And then after that, it'll try to eat them, whatever. So we did this whole thing. It was really funny. Like, you don't have to worry about the toy plane and the cat and mouse thing. It's more just that I have an additional additional enemy to fight them with. And they try to gather an item and escape the thing. And that's all really it is. I mean, you can say that it's mouse and cat and whatever other thing it tells you to. But really, the objective is get this thing and get the fuck out of there with that thing. So... It was awesome, though. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and a lot of fun. Another cool part about it is the reason it also becomes more intricate and gives that extra detail is we start reading the rules, and halfway through we realize, wait a minute, Wizards of the Coast helped make this, was part of the people who made this game. It's just kind of like, you just instantly was like, oh, wait a minute, let's put the effort into learning how to play because we know it's a Wizards of the Coast product.
We can trust it.
It's going to probably end up being a solid enough game, and to that point it is.
So we all love this game, though, right?
And unfortunately, halfway through the second game, there was an update, and a bunch of the pieces were banned. And
yeah, it was no fun. It was bad, man.
And then we played another game, and they're like, wait a minute, we're going to ban this other piece.
The cats are overpowered. We can't.
And then we
cat
changed,
tribal.
And then in our own meta, we're like, listen, we're just going to go ahead and, like, we can't play this one card room tile because it's just not fun to play against. Yeah. It's just too, it's a combo. It's a one room combo.
One room combo.
So we were like, no.
Definitely, like, in my top three suggestions of board games to play, I think it's probably, like, my second favorite board game of all time.
Yeah.
One, the first one being Risk Legacy.
Yeah.
And this
one. You like this one over Pandemic?
Ooh.
Yeah. Because the way I've seen it, I'm thinking those are top three.
So Pandemic is good. It's just the reason I like this one is because every game is drastically
okay,
different.
Okay. Yeah. I can hear that.
But that's why there's Pandemic Legacy. So we'll have to crack that open soon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we all agree, though. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, it's a solid game.
A lot of fun. You just have some friends that you play Magic with. You get, you know, you got at least three of you. Pick this game up. It was it's $25 on Amazon. I saw.
That's not even bad.
Betrayal at the House
on the Hill.
And
it was like $40 for a long time.
Right. Dude, I went to fucking Target and I was like, oh, maybe buy it if it's here, and it's $50.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, I'm not gonna buy it for that. Look, at Amazon is like $24.50. I'm like, okay, well. So there's that, and then there's an expansion that you already bought.
Right.
And the expansion is 50 new scenarios, and then of course it changes the rules. I'll tell you one thing, one spoiler. It adds the roof to the house.
Okay.
So I don't know what that is. I just saw on the back of the box that it said roof. So that's kind of cool that there's, you know, it's going to add. If you get bored of these 50 scenarios, or maybe you play through 20 of them, but it kind of feels the same, you know what I mean? Now you can go ahead and just move on to the next thing. It'll change the rules a little bit, and you're fucking good to go. So yeah, the game was fucking rad, though. I played with 6 people after our play group played it, and the game was longer, but it was not any more or less fun. It was still a great fucking game. So
I mean, generally, it lasts anywhere between like 45 minutes and 2 hours, depending on how many people are playing.
Yeah, I'd probably say like, probably an hour and a half at the most, probably, for if you have a small play group. Anyways, that was fucking awesome. I wanted to bring that up because that thing is a great discovery on Knife's part. It's fucking awesome.
And if anybody has played Rebellion, Star Wars Rebellion, the board game, not the computer game, go ahead and tweet at us and let us know how you like it.
Yeah. So I got some work shit to talk about. Woo! All right. So we fucking, the job that I'm at is in the middle of a freeway, right? There's like, it's not gated off. It's just like there. And then we have all these like lock boxes and containers, like shipping containers and stuff. We store everything in. And the fucking problem with that is that just nobody's there when we leave, you know? So like, hey, everyone in San Diego, fucking come on down. And we show up from the weekend or whatever. This is like a week ago, not this Monday. I don't know, whatever, 10 days ago, something like that. And someone fucking broke into one of our gang boxes, one of our like lock boxes, totally tore the top off of that shit like a fucking tuna can, and stole all the personal tools for the other journeyman on the job and his apprentice, and stole like one of those dirt compactor whacker things, stole a fucking Honda generator, like all this shit, fucking took off with it. Totally fucking sucks. And the guy that got his tool stolen, the journeyman, he's like, I'm gonna fucking sue this company. Like, I'm gonna get my fucking money back for these tools. It's like at your own risk, like, for sure. Like, we already know this, but he's so uppity about this kind of shit. The guy's like really fucking political and like all this stuff. It's like really weird. But anyways, he's super angry about it. He fucking hates the company now and all this shit, even though it's like, once again, totally his fault. Like, also, motherfucker has a work truck. He could totally just bring his tools home every day so easily. Anyways, it's a whole other story. I can go on to that for like a half hour. So that happens. Totally sucks. Then
did he end up going to the swap meet?
No, I don't know. Maybe. He was thinking about going to the swap meet to go fucking
find who was selling them.
He has all his tools like engraved with a little fucking Dremel tool or some shit. So fast forward like 3 days later, there was another fucking break-in at the shipping container.
You didn't tell us about that one.
We got even more, so we've discovered, like, all right, these guys are, like, they're dicks. Then they fucking tuna can some metal boxes. Like, these guys, They're trying really hard to steal our shit. So we have this Pettibone, this what is it called, like a Skyjack or whatever the fuck it's called. Anyways, it's like one of those big ass forklifts, four wheel drive forklifts that pick up big ass shit and, like, you know, has the extendable arm to put like roofing tiles on the roof. You've probably seen it a million times. They're usually orange.
It's a Pettibone.
I know it's Pettibone. I'm okay. Trying to describe it to them. Yeah, gotcha. Pettibone's a trade term. So anyways, have that. We have one of those, and like we decided, like, fuck this. We're just gonna go ahead and back it up, wheels touching the door of the shipping container. Just because, like, if they break off the lock or whatever, like, at least they can't get the door open because they have to move this fucking big-ass piece of equipment. So they ended up trying anyways. Like, this is all just in anticipation of another break-in. We come to work, whatever. The fucking door is, like, the top part of it is, like, bent over. So, like, they broke the lock.
How are they,
and they fucking bent
this fucking metal like
dude,
that?
Dude, seriously. They fucking bent it out maybe, like, 10 inches or something like that. And so they stole right what was next to the door. They stole, like, three things. We still had, like, another 100 things in there, but we stole, like, three things, right? And we're like, oh, my God, what the fuck, dude? Like, they just pried the shit, like I said, they just bent that metal and pried the shit out of it. We're like, we did all we could. We have it fucking locked, and we have a goddamn piece of equipment that they couldn't move in front of it, and they still were able to get, you know, within the first 2 feet of the box and steal shit. And we're like, oh, my God, what the fuck? So we're like, all right, we're getting all the important shit off the job. Like, it's going in trucks. It's going somewhere else. Like, fuck this. This is ridiculous. And so we do all that, whatever, and we leave, like, pretty much nothing of importance in there. Like, there's some scrap wire and some other stuff like that, but nothing that's going to, like, slow us down on the job, and no personal shit. And fucking yesterday, the third fucking break-in.
Oh, my God.
Third fucking break-in.
Well, I mean, you guys
are
in a good part of town.
So, you know what they did this time? Yeah, I know, no shit. This time, though.
Easy access to Mexico.
Shipping containers have it where, like, there's one door, there's the left door or whatever, and then there's the right door, and the right door has, like, it has an overhang, so you can't open the left door without opening the right. The left one doesn't even need a lock, because the right one's shut, you can't get it open. Not to these motherfuckers.
They took the hinge.
They fucking pried and pried and pried and got the left door to open. Past all that metal, and I was like, damn, what the fuck, dude? So they got in there, and
that's a lot of effort. Like, how they put that, that would take some time.
Dude,
like, how is nobody here?
Bro, I don't know why the fuck we're not hiring, like, security guards, or, like, I have no idea, dude. It's you know, that's
insane.
We're the company to deal. All I know is my shit is getting the fuck out of here. So,
so what'd they take the third time?
They just took whatever was left over. They took, like, stupid shit, like, we have this stuff called mule tape. It's basically rope, but it's, like, really strong nylon rope. And it's not even, like,
sick
worth anything.
But it's awesome to use.
It's, like, fucking amazing for the trade. It's the best
shit. I have, like, bundles of it at home because it's the best rope.
It's the best rope ever, for sure. It's weird to think about, like, oh, fucking cool rope. But when you do it for a living, you're like, this is the shit.
Oh,
you know?
Don't bring the rope, he says.
Yeah, don't bring the fucking rope. So they steal that shit. They stole, like, random bullshit or whatever. But it's fucking crazy, dude. It's literally fucking crazy. And they haven't stolen anything from the other trades. Only electrical trades. I'm guessing it's because electrical is, like, copper wire. That's probably the biggest thing. But, I mean, we're just guessing it's fucking inside job.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
how do they know that that's the electrical trade?
We have our name on it.
Oh.
So. Yeah.
He's like, he thought he had something there. He's like, sort of
jacked. Yeah, why would they? Oh, no, it's got a name on it. So, also, we're the only container there. They have a, most of their shit is, like, off-site anyways. So.
Gotcha.
They're smart. We're not. So, yeah, that's what's been going on. It's been fucking hectic and crazy.
You should put an electrical fence around it.
Dude, we were talking about that. We're like, we should just energize the container. They touch it, they die. You die, scum. You die. So that was
like that idea.
We have all these jokes about that shit, yeah. But it ain't my shit. It ain't ruining my paycheck, so whatever. But I don't know if you guys know. I think I mentioned it, but I got, like, a fucking work truck, right? Work truck's fucking badass. Dodge, Ram, quad cab, whatever the fuck. You know, gas card and all that shit. Drive it home. And now, because of all the theft and all this shit, it's like, okay, we need to keep all the tools together, and you're the one using the tools, like, so why don't we just, like, swap trucks? And this, I'm talking to my boss. My boss gave me his truck, which is, like, the full fucking lockable boxes on either side of it, the big roof rack, and, you know, the same shit
legit
you see in the
work truck.
Yeah, the full work truck. The same shit you see on the fucking freeway home every day from your normal fucking bitch-ass job. So,
that was aggressive.
I had to go there. Anyway, so I got that fucking thing. So that's cool. It's like, it's a fucking pig, and the thing is super slow because even though it's, like, a new truck, it's just all that weight, and the little V8s just can't fucking hang. So it's a little bit of pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass to, like, back up, and, like, you can't, you know, if you gotta go fucking lunch and you gotta park the shit in a parking lot, it's a goddamn disaster. But, another thing, in the Dodge right before I gave it back. I fucking backed that shit up into a light pole. They had like, so I'm looking in the rearview, the side mirror, whatever, and I'm backing up out of, I'm getting lunch, whatever, at a pizza place, and I fucking am backing up, and there's like all this traffic all around me, and like, so they're basically like waiting for me to get the fuck out of there. And so I look in the side mirror, and I see one of those like yellow concrete posts that like protect something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I see that, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm avoiding that, but I didn't think about what it's protecting, and so I hit the fucking light pole. Yeah. I hit it like
you got around the protective barrier to hit the actual item. I like you had to like do it on like you had to be like I don't know skilled to get past the thing to do it,
dude. It was like I was like I see the obstruction. I'm gonna miss the obstruction. I'm literally like not even using the gas. I'm in reverse, like just holding the brake and kind of going slow. But still, I'm backing up, and then in front of like you know five cars, like clunk. Fuck. And, you know, so it's a work truck. Nobody cares. The thing's already beat up a little bit, but still, that's like the first time I've ever hit something in any work vehicle, or even my own vehicle, really, with like, you know, without being on purpose. So, what?
Weren't you the one who fucking hit something over at Sparks?
Broke your axle and spun out, and then you went over a hill.
No, that's just an accident. That's not hitting something.
What about Sparks? Was that one of our friends?
That was on. What are you talking about? I'm the one that allegedly pushed that dumpster over with my car, but that was on purpose. I did that because it was fucking hilarious.
Wow. I don't remember.
Did someone get hurt over there? Someone crash your car?
Well, not hurt, but there was...
Did they die? Were there bees involved? No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't remember.
It was probably
I do not
remember
a person crashing when we were
Those were very drunk times.
Oh, man. It was so good. We would, like, go to this abandoned complex. Not abandoned, but, like, you know, people are... They're home from work. Work stops at fucking 4 o'clock. So.
It was a fucking
industrial complex. It would race our fucking cars up and down shit, burnouts and drinking and fireworks.
Me
like,
and my buddy David, fucking, we like got drunk or smoking pot or both or I don't fucking know what we're doing, butt sex. And we took my small little like you know 13-inch fucking TV or whatever and my SNES. And he had, like, an adapter for his car so we could plug that shit in his truck. And so we brought, like, lawn chairs. So we're just in this fucking parking lot of this, you know, wherever, deep in the complex where no one was going to see us. And we're just sitting there playing, like, Tecmo Super Bowl. Just, you know, the TV on the back of his tailgate. Mm-hmm. We're just, like, sitting there drinking, fucking playing Super Nintendo. And the fucking security comes up and they're like,
This like, is awesome.
Yeah,
but get
can
out of
I
here?
Get in on this? Yeah. Like, do I put a quarter on the table? Next game. Yeah. I got a winner.
And they're like, this is impressive, but you need to leave.
Yeah. So, okay, I do remember one accident. There was an old pickup truck that somebody had, and everyone piled into this thing, like in the back, like whatever. And because this is the dumbest story ever. And they fucking rode up the hill. Like every industrial complex is always like in a hilly area for some reason, at least in San Diego. And so they rode, you leave the fucking parking lot in the back, and you drive, like, up this fucking vertical hill, and then you go up on top of the little hillside, and you can, like, do some off-roading, whatever.
Yeah.
So he fucking powers through, goes up this fucking hill, we're all in the back, and everyone's drunk, and it's all really stupid. We're all gonna die, basically. Nobody has a seatbelt on, all that shit. And then he goes and crests the hill, and at the top of the hill has one of those water runoff drains, like, where they just have, like, they have this, you know, V-shaped concrete fucking ditch. It's, like, 4 feet wide. And he just fucking goes over the hill, front end just goes, wa-boom! And everyone just fucking slams into the dashboard, slams into the fucking back of the cab from sitting in the bed, you know? Everyone's like just breaking their noses on shit. And we're like, what the fuck? And then we all had to get out and try to push that shit out of there. Yeah, that was really stupid. Like, who the fuck is in the back of a truck while they're off-roading? That's super stupid.
That's kind of fun.
When you're drunk and 17, that's the best thing ever. So.
Yeah.
I used to go home from, like, Jack River Stadium in the bed of my dad's truck. All the way home from like side roads to freeways and just be laying down back there. And he'd have fun. He'd slam the fuck out of the brakes and send me flying into the back of the cab on purpose. And that was, you know.
I've definitely gone in the back of the truck while they're driving on a regular street. I remember getting pulled over in Big Bear because the only sober person had a single cab truck. And I think the other one was like a stick or something like that, so they couldn't drive it. So like we all got in this fucking. Four of us were laying down in the bed, or sitting up in the bed or whatever, because we're just drunk and don't care. And then this cop, like, SUV cop, like, it's a single lane road, so he, like, goes off into like the oncoming traffic lane. Like he's fucking, he's trying to get us. You know what I mean? He's like moving and he pulls us over and they have their fucking guns out.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, and we're like,
what the fuck? I guess there was some like big, like break in at a liquor store or something like that, like right at that same time. So they thought we were getting away in this truck. You know what I mean? So I remember we were like there and we're like, what the fuck, dude? They killed my buzz, bro. What's going on here? They didn't have like guns to our faces, but they had guns out.
Should have been laying down,
like,
dude. Should have been laying down.
Well, once we saw the cop, we all laid down, obviously. Like, once we saw them coming up, we're like, oh, get down, get down, get down. But that didn't matter. We're just, yeah, our reaction timing sucks.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I remember kind of by Corey Neese, his neck of the woods out there by that, what's that fucking golf course over there? Anyways, there's a golf course. You know, if you keep going down that fucking road to the casino.
Okay, so you mean out there. Okay.
Yeah, way out
but no,
there.
No, I don't know what golf course that is, though.
Anyways, so, like, you go past the golf course and you take a right, and then it's just, like, this dirt road into all these, like, dirt road fucking neighborhoods. Anyways, butt fuck nowhere. We used to go out there and fucking drink because, you know, when you're a teenager,
you don't have a fucking apartment yet or whatever, so you got to go find somewhere to go get shit.
So we just found this fucking old dirt road and shit, and we used to just park down on the dirt road way far down there and then fucking get drunk. Anyways, we were leaving one time, and my fucking idiot friend in his truck, that we were, you know, single cab, we were three of us in the front, and all our buddies behind us in different cars, and there's this, I don't know what you call it, you know, like the road goes down, and then it's like concrete, so like water can go through and shit like that, so Rockstar can be knocked over, so water can go through, and then it goes back up, you know, like, you know, 20 feet, it's like this big dip. Anyways, he fucking forgot about it, so he's hitting it like fucking fast as shit, and all of a sudden we fucking just, you know, jump down off of it and we hit, and then we like pop back up, and then we go over the side of the thing, which is, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't, cliff is not the right word, but there was definitely a,
there's a drop,
there's a decline in elevation. And so I specifically remember I had a bong just sitting in my lap, and so when we fucking hit, all the water like shot out and went right in my fucking mouth.
Well, you're used to that, having like a phallic object in your lap and fluid go in your mouth. Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't even smoking it. We were like done, but just, you know, the water, just gravity, just like.
Did it taste worse or better than your semen?
Probably worse. Probably worse. Probably worse. All night fucking smoking in that thing, and. And then I think, like, after that, or maybe it was a different night, my buddy hit a deer out there, and it was just like, I don't know why that's relevant to the story, but he was, like, laughing about it. I'm like, that's kind of fucked up, dude. I was like, why? And he, like, took the antlers and put them in his dashboard. It was, like, really, really fucked up.
I don't like any of this story.
Yeah, I know.
I love
let me
it.
Let me go back to the semen part. Like, women wouldn't suck dick if cum tasted like bong water, right? Like, that's awful.
I don't think anybody would suck dick if it tastes like bong water.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Yeah. So, like, yeah. I just want to bring up that point.
Yeah. If so, cum tastes better than bong water.
Yeah. We found that out. That's the episode title.
Scientifically proven.
Yeah. So, like, okay, hold on.
No, let's bring it. No, we got like another 3 minutes on this topic.
So if we're, you know, anybody who's smoked weed, you know how a bong works. You know, all the ash goes down into the water. You know, you put a new bowl in. So let's say smoking a bowl takes, you know, if it's a good size bowl, let's say a minute, to be generous. You know, if they're an idiot, they know how to smoke. So every minute, a bong load's going down, ash is going down to the water. After how many minutes does it become worse than semen? Because no ash in there, it's just water.
I would say
1 minute, it's just a little bit of ash.
Three bowls deep.
It's worse than semen.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you say, Crow? Because we're gonna test this out after the episode.
Yeah, three bowls.
I'm gonna smoke it, but I'm not gonna.
Three bowls worse than two bowls.
I'm gonna watch you guys smoke it while I cut some lines out, because that was always my thing.
I think two bowls is a wash.
I'd say five.
Five. Yeah. Wow. You can really take it, can't you?
Yeah. Man. What can I say?
Any input on
this? I honestly, I've smoked weed maybe 10 times in my life. I don't have enough information to put an opinion on bong water.
Me too. 10 times.
Well, I've done a little white lady way more than that, but weed was never my bag. So
I specifically remember one time, the down stem, you know, the place where the bowl goes.
Well, I know what bongs are. I know all the jazz.
Yeah, I mean, just for like the people out there who are fucking lames and don't know what we're talking about. usually how we smoked, you know, bong load was all to yourself. And we usually had pretty big, you know, big bongs, tall, you know, 3-4 foot, whatever. And this one specific time, you know, I had, I was hitting it, and then I took the bowl out to suck up all the smoke.
Yeah.
And like halfway through, I began to cough, and I was coughing for so long that the remaining smoke in the chamber was now stale and old, and I didn't want to smoke it. So I went to go blow into the downstem, which would therefore push air into the bong mm-hmm. and shoot the smoke up through the top.
Right. This is all sound theory, by the way.
Yeah, this is all,
however,
this all checks out.
Like, it's about to go horribly wrong.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I was like...
Creates a pressure zone. High pressure zone.
But then you create rifts in the water and the tide.
Yeah, it's physics. And so I went to go blow it out, and I was still like trying to catch my breath, but I was trying to hurry up because there's people behind me like, hurry up and fucking finish, you know? And so as I went to go blow it out, I took like a really big inhale before I went to go blow it out.
While your mouth was on it.
But I was so stoned that halfway through my big inhale, I accidentally put my mouth lock seal tight on the downstem and just slurped it up like a fucking straw, like a Slurpee.
I feel like I'm going to gag right now, actually.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Like I was using it like a fucking Sunday, just good bong water.
Oh, man. And then what?
And it sucked. I mean,
it sucked.
After that, what happened then?
And then I don't know, fucking went and ate Cheetos or something.
That's literally what I was looking for.
A million of those stories. It. If I had a Cheeto for every time I drank bong water,
I'd have the same number of Cheetos.
I'd be fat just like I am now.
Fucking A. Fucking A.
So,
we had a little side note. Something I forgot to say for mine was for my birthday and my brother's birthday. My brother's really into Egyptian themes, into the Egyptian world and things like that. And so I've been telling him he's played a little bit of Magic in the previous times, and he's played some Magic Duel stuff, and he has like some old zombie deck and whatnot. So I told him about the Egyptian world coming out, and so for our birthdays, I asked my mom to get him a booster box and myself one for Amonkhet.
For your birthday.
Well, one for me, one for him, I think. So we can open them and play.
I forgot your birthday was so close to his.
Yeah,
I thought his
is 5 days before mine. So.
I thought you meant like, hey, for his birthday, you should buy both of us a booster.
Your mom might say yes.
She probably would. I would just play off like, yeah, he's going through some hard times. Let's get enough cards to play each other. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyways, though, long story short, he pulled the Days Invocation.
Oh, nice.
Days, so it's the prettiest artwork one right there.
Oh,
so.
Sick. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the hardest to read, or is that the easiest to read?
It's probably the easiest to read.
It's got the cool start, though.
Okay. Yeah.
All that blue and the birds.
Sexy.
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Cool.
Sick.
So, question I had for you guys is,
bring it on.
Do you guys have a favorite deck to watch during coverage? And if so, is there a player you enjoy most watching it?
Let's see here. I like watching Ali Entrazi play decks, because he plays weird rampy slow decks, and I think that's like more fun than watching people like slam out aggro, even though I'm kind of an aggro player myself. You know, do I want to watch aggro all day long? Not really. Do I want to watch combo all day long? Not really. I'm kind of interested in just seeing people get to fucking 10 lands. That's like exciting to me. And Ali Entrazi always plays, first of all, that guy plays ridiculously fast. When it gets going and then you see like the time's running out, that guy is way explosive. And yeah, so anyways, he plays weird decks. He never fucking plays Mardu and shit like that vehicles, you know what I mean? He's always into like Simic. This is his main, his bread and butter, and he plays big rampy bullshit.
Big rampy bullshit.
So,
how about you, Knife?
You know what? I tried to, like, get into the whole, like, get a favorite pro sort of thing and, like, get somebody to, like, cheer on, you know? I just never got into it.
Sam Black. He's good.
I
like to get on Team Sam Black.
I like watching
Sam Black. If anything, I like, you know, the Brewers the most. They're a great baseball team.
Yes. Sam Black is part of that team.
Yeah, he throws a
82-mile-per-hour fastball.
Okay, good.
And, but he always does brews, though, too. Sam Black's all about, like, doing weird shit.
And he's a closer. Bring in the lefty.
Yep.
He
threw it with his foot. It's amazing.
I just like innovative decks that don't aren't of the norm. Just, I mean, pretty much if a tier 2 or 3 deck can get camera time, then I'm like excited. Yeah. Like that, or just a new deck, like that white-black smallpox deck was really cool to watch. And
so we were watching that one, though. We're sitting there watching it, and you're just yelling, like, that's why you don't fucking play white. It's mono black small packs, you fuck. What are you doing?
No,
playing
because
four,
that...
you can't get the four lands for Gideon. Suck a dick. This is small box.
You can't.
Because that was a verbatim quote from Knife.
You have the fucking white land that allows you to sack it for free fucking value. That flags. Stone, whatever the fuck
yeah,
it is.
I mean,
that card is awesome.
Yeah, you're talking a lot. It's a small box. You don't know about the deck.
Initially, the deck, me? I was like, this
maybe
is...
Maybe no more bad than both of you combined?
Initially, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I couldn't really understand why you would want to play, like, four drops in a small box deck. But I get, like, the point of the deck. It's just, in my eyes, small box is something you play as, like, a tempo play early on. Not really as, like... I think that deck almost plays it like as a control feature later on, which is weird. So anyways, I think that deck is really cool. I wish there was some sort of like viable mill strategy besides in modern, besides that one stupid fucking artifact deck that is just, everyone hates it. What's it called?
Oh, Lantern Control.
Lantern Control. Yeah, that's like the worst. That's why people hate mill, because Lantern
Control. But it also got, you know, kind of bandy-banned a little bit, right? Got restricted a little bit, so it's not played as often.
What?
Lantern Control got, like, one of those cards fucking removed, didn't it?
No.
No?
No?
Not yet, no.
Pretty sure.
No.
Nope, that's pretty one sure. of the ones being talked about for hitting it, but it's hard to hit it because it plays a bunch of fucking common and uncommon pieces of shit cards.
Yeah.
But
Taxing Probe. Got it. Nailed it.
Also, there's
nothing from that has been banned. That deck is in full stock.
Also, that Ponza deck is really fun to watch. I've only watched it a couple times.
What is that one?
It's the like red-green deck. I'm going to fuck it up. It's the red-green deck, and basically you're playing... you're blowing up their lands with like the acid moss and then...
That's the one, like, you get to... isn't there one of those where, like, you blow up one of their lands, but also get the basic for yourself or something like that?
That's Acid Moss.
Moon Volley Acid Moss.
And then there's, like, some other, land destruction spells, and then they're running Primeval Titan and whichever one of the Planeswalkers is... Johnny Vengeance?
That
is not green.
Anyways.
That's red-white.
That's just a fun deck because, like Hot Sauce said, it's like they're wanting to get more lands on the table.
Is it Domri Raid?
It's Domri Raid. Rest in peace. They're wanting to get more lands on the table and kind of do bigger things. And so, that's funner than watching, like, a burn deck get to two lands and they're like, okay, I'm good for the rest of the game. Let's just fire at your face.
Yeah, I remember watching a video yesterday where Liliana had, like, ultimate... The person that was playing and streaming, they had Liliana at, like, 7. So it could do the ultimate where they, like, split their permanents or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, okay, they have 4 lands, so I'm going to give them 2 lands. Like, this does nothing against burn.
Right.
They're literally just top-decking at this point. Everything costs 2 or less. This is literally no reason. Liliana's ultimate, which is amazing, is not good enough at all. It doesn't do a single fucking thing.
I feel like the Liliana's ultimate, obviously talking about...
Of the Veil.
Her ultimate isn't that appealing in Modern unless you're going... Like, if you can get to her ultimate, obviously they don't have a very good board presence. So...
Yeah, it's better just to keep the discard and...
Yeah, like, just keep the value of it.
So against burn, it's pretty sweet because, like, you're able to... You can plus one on your main phase, first main phase... and have them discard the burn spell so they can't use it during combat. So they either need to, like, kill the creature now, and you can decide what you're doing later as far as playing out your shit or whatever, or if you have, like, a Shambling Vent, you can fucking activate that after you make them discard the card and just use it to burn your face. So, like, it's... And then if they ever play a fucking Eidolon or whatever else, you don't take the 2 damage hit from the Eidolon trigger. You just minus it. they sack a creature. It's like a hard lock, basically.
Yeah.
Damn near.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. If you can gain any little bit of life, you're going to fucking hard lock that.
Some reason I thought, instead of Shambling Vent, I thought you were going to say Shamble Shark.
Shamble Shark. Isn't and I was ultimate...
like, now I need to build
basically Planeswalker status.
A Sultai deck in Modern with Shamble Shark and Liliana.
Dude.
Just like the best card and the worst card.
Don't you? Okay.
Smash them together.
What's a card that got played a shit ton that you have not seen since it got played in Standard?
Boros
Reckoner. All right. Well, there's still like very, very weird fringe decks that play that. I have seen like something.
I was going to say Pack Rat, but I've seen some Pack Rat decks in Modern.
I think it's Cloudfin Raptor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was a correct answer.
Yeah. There's like only one answer.
Well, I guess.
Excuse the fuck out of me. Yeah. Remember that thing, though? The 0-1 flyer?
Yeah, the Evolve dude.
Yeah. That saw like a four of and like all these winning decks.
The
and
mono
then it'll
blue.
Never, ever be seen again.
Horrible. I tried to really hard to forget about it. Spend a lot of time and money.
You did a
money.
Good job, because you didn't forget until
time and
you
money
jammed down your throat to remember.
Well, I'm just thinking about a quickness.
I'm going to have to talk to my therapist again.
I'm thinking about a quickness lately.
I'm
so
sorry.
I'm bringing it up, you know.
So for me, there's multiple decks I enjoy watching, but the epitome of the two questions for me were favorite deck to watch combined with the player playing that deck is, for me, it doesn't get better than watching Reed Duke play Legacy Elves. He just... that's part of the reason why I got into Elves is how he plays that deck, and he just has such a smoothness to it and knows exactly what he's doing, and his sideboard plan of turning into his hand disruption deck with Elves going off.
Also,
it's just great watching Reed Duke play Legacy Elves.
His muscles are so muscly.
Gotta love that ball cut. Gotta love that ball cut. It's like he's still 10 years old.
He's so innocent.
That's why I watch him.
That's he's exactly so why I watch him. So yeah, that's I was thinking about because we just had the whole GP Vegas, and he came on there, and the first one I turned on and to watch was him playing Legacy Elves. I was like, fucking perfect. This is exactly what I want to see. So,
did he win?
He won that game, that
fuck
match.
Yeah,
he did. Now, fuck yeah, he did.
I do like Reed Duke. I think he's a solid dude, stand up guy. I'd fucking, you know,
fuck him.
I'd fuck him. I'd invite him over for din-dins.
Din-dins.
Yeah,
he didn't show up though.
Well, yeah, I sent him a lot of requests too. Like I'm blowing up his Twitter right now.
So the other thing before we get into spoilers is, so you know how for the most part we all think you can't cheat at MTGO? It's, you know, the program's built in and how you do it, and you can't really cheat too much at it.
Okay, are we going to go into like bugs?
No.
Okay, then never mind.
No,
I have
not
no idea.
Bugs.
I actually have no idea how you cheat in MTGO without just abusing bugs.
Well, it's happening.
You don't play it.
Yeah, I know.
And then you win.
So, came out on Reddit, a dude posted because he's part of a group that was doing this cheating scam. And he just, you know, I guess he grew a conscience and decided, hey, I can't do this anymore. And this is what the people are doing. So, groups of people are cheating in draft leagues on MTGO. They go on late at night when there's less activity to make sure they all get into the same draft. And then while on Skype or in the same room, they'll call out the bomb rares and whatnot in their packs and pass each other down the line the deck archetypes that are best for each person based on their decks to start off. So they all get these amazing decks. Than, you know,
oh, so they get all 5-0 tournaments.
Yes, for the sealed.
Oh, because it's mixed pods.
Yes. We should do that.
I know.
Yes. Yeah, so then they log off. They don't even play that night. They do it late at night. They log off, go back the next day, the different times, and not play each other at all. So now they have these fucking epic draft decks against. Actually, it's not sealed. It's just draft leagues. So they play against people who just drafted regular, and they're just wrecking face.
Man.
All just fucking everybody up. So it's just cheating other people out of their money, out of their cards, out of their good time.
All out.
And they're just, you know, fucking people over.
So what you're saying is they should go back to single pod.
I'm not going that far, but like the guy, one of the people who I saw talk about this mentioned like he doesn't know exactly how they do it, but they gotta like figure out some way to try to like, you know, work on this because it's a problem.
Yeah.
Whether it's making sure that if you see fucking all these people drafting from the same IP address or whatever, but you can't really track that because people, his friends get together and play. So there's things, you know, along the lines of like, oh, watching these people fucking constantly 5-0 drafts, and I don't know how they'd go about it. And the guy was trying to come up with ideas, and I'm sure it'd be very difficult to actually shut down. But apparently it's kind of a big problem going on right now.
Yeah, to prove that they are on Skype with their buddies and prove all that shit. Like,
that's pretty difficult.
So I guess this guy was part of like this main group that started doing this, and then there's a bunch of other subgroups that started doing the same idea. So it's not just like this one team. There's a bunch of groups of people apparently cheating at MTGO.
You know what? All out. I could give a shit. Because they get fucking play points. I don't fucking care.
I just don't care.
They get treasure chests, which have Aether Marvel work still in it.
I don't care.
Well, look, think about it this way. It's not about what they're getting. It's about what they're taking away from the other players.
Yeah,
like, you're going to draft your regular deck thinking, I got a good draft deck, and you're going to go get raped in the ass because they have a perfect draft deck.
Yep. I still don't care.
Okay, don't waste your money.
Yep.
I think you're...
I didn't waste my money already. We're playing Magic.
I think you're kind of being like, I mean, maybe you don't care about the situation, but I think to say like you don't care they're cheating is just kind of...
What about not, like...
It's kind of short-sighted.
It's bullshit, huh?
What about the little 10-year-old that's spending his lunch money and he's just getting fucking draft raped?
I think it's fucked up. I don't think they should do anything about it, though. I'll say that.
I don't think there's much they can do to designate resources to fixing this.
Like, I don't care.
If it was more of a fixable problem, I think they should do something about it, but...
Yeah, like, I mean, I agree with
really
that.
Really, what
make
are
it fair
you...
as possible? It's fine, but like, what are they going to fucking do? Are they going to designate like fucking $100,000 to just figure out this
fucking
problem,
the
and
fucking...
then probably accuse people, and then end up not being able to resolve it because they can't actually prove anything or something like that? Like, who cares?
That's where the CIA comes in, because this is America, and they can
isn't
really...
CIA international?
What do you think the I stands for?
International.
Nailed it.
Does the CIA even deal with problems in the United States?
Well, these might be dirty, filthy foreigners who are...
Nobody has internet except for America.
You said dirty, filthy foreigners.
You know,
dirty,
those damn Frenchies are taking our drafts away
fucking
from
frogs.
So what do you want to do about it?
I'm not saying there's much to do about it. I'm just saying it's a topic to bring up, something that's happening, and just to make people aware, because it's not like widely known yet that it's going on. So just as you're drafting, you're doing your draft league drafts, just be aware. I mean, not much you can do about it. Just a heads up that you may run into somebody who's raping you and basically wasting your money. So, I'm not saying don't play it. I'm not saying Wizards can actually do much about it. I'm just saying it's a thing.
So here's a question. Do you know, like... whereabouts they were from, because they said they went on late at night. So if they're Australians, then we might be fucked. If they're Americans, just don't play late at night.
Well, that's the thing. They're not playing at night. They're drafting at night. And they're playing the next day against anybody.
Right.
They just play whenever they want to from then on out.
So they never face each other.
Totally random. You can't even predict where they're going to be.
Well, I mean, at least, like, you know, if you're in their same pod when drafting,
that's
you're
the thing. They have a couple guys that will be in the draft pod and going in and out and making sure nobody else comes in that pod and figuring out when they can go into the new one and get their buddies to jump in right at the same time. So it's only them in the pod.
Let me say that I appreciate that you brought this topic up because I had no idea. And just say that it's just going to happen. And that's okay. Maybe they'll have a new program. Maybe they'll change the league rules or whatever. I don't really like the... I like the league rules the way they are right now, though. I think it's sweet that you can play whenever you want to.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying there's anything they can't actually do about it. I'm just saying the cheating
is happening.
You're
not. I'm just giving my two cents.
So maybe they'll, you know, change how there shouldn't be intentional draws in the last rounds of a goddamn GP on camera. Then you can't find a fucking match to watch.
That's
or, hey,
where
maybe
at.
They should take away buys because the rich keep on getting richer, you know?
Whoa.
Where's my Karl Marxist?
Whoa.
He was...
You fucking liberal Nancy little bitch. This is America. We're all Republican in America.
I'm just upset that Corey Neese got by is in Las Vegas. That's really what it boils down to.
Of all people that deserve it.
He's got too many cats.
Too
give
many
him a break.
Cats, too many cats.
So yeah, that was my couple little magic things before I got on the spoilers.
Sexy.
I like it. I had no idea. And it's probably going to keep happening, but I don't really, two leagues, I think, you know what I mean? Like, not much going on for me. And I usually just blow through it anyways.
That's
why
you just join the constructed leagues, and then you just don't win any games. It's been my experience.
Really? What have you played in, the zombie deck.
The zombie deck, unfortunately, 4 out of 5 matches was Marvel. I think
all five?
4 out of 5.
Fuck.
And then the other one was just a red-green energy deck. I think the first league I joined was Popper. So that was fun.
Which, by the way, a red-green energy deck is still freaking good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, like, they're saying, like, sure, Marvel got banned, but you can still, like, have a really good
There's still a lot of things to do, a lot of decks to be made. It's just... Marvel was so oppressive that other decks weren't being made because that was too good.
But it's not like your deck is ruined once, you know, Marvel got banned. You can just turn it into red-green energy and still, you know.
I think that Zombie deck is probably the best deck in Standard right now, though, with the banning.
Pretty sure Zombie. Mono black or black white?
Mono black. I think that's the best deck in Standard. I'm seeing, like, it even against, like, Turbo Fog, which should be very good against creature decks. And the deck can rebuild so fast after board wipes and the fogs and all this weird shit that it's still something that you can run through your resources and fog and kill shit, like, six times in a row, and you're still facing down 12 damage that very next turn. You're like, oh, my God, how the fuck do I kill these things, you know? Mm. Now we got some graveyard hate. That'll help out a little bit, but still, it's, like, it's very difficult to beat zombies.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad there's graveyard hate because even though I play graveyard strategies, it's like there should always be answers to stuff.
Yeah, we're going to get into the spoilers of it, but I'm so excited they're bringing answers back to Standard play.
So let's just dive dick deep into these spoilers.
Feels warm. It feels comforting.
So right now. Had we talked about like a lot of the... Have we even talked about spoilers?
Barely any.
Barely any. Barely
you pushed out a couple of weeks and whatnot. And...
Here. Let's move right on to June 16th. Okay? If you're looking at Mythic Spoiler on the newest spoilers, follow it home. June 16th. This is like right after where they had all the fucking weird spoiled, you know, like on purpose or by accident cards or whatever.
And let's just go ahead and skip all the fucking invocations. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. No invocations. Listen, you pull one, fucking fantastic.
I do want that thought.
You're not,
though.
Yeah, for sure.
That one looks sick.
For sure. All right. The Scorpion God.
You mean the Rock?
The Rock.
You smell what he's cooking?
I smell 1/1 counters.
I'm so upset that it just got called the Scorpion God.
All of them did, though. Yeah. The Locust God.
They should have, and there should be names. Like, I have the same feeling on that.
So, Scorpion God. 3 black, red. It's a 6/5 legendary creature god. Whenever a creature with a 1/1 counter on it dies, you get to draw a card. Pay 3 mana, 1 generic, black, and red. Put a 1/1, -1/-1 counter on another target creature. And then, as all the gods have, as far as this new set goes, when this creature dies, return it to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step. So this one has synergy with itself, so you can pay 3 mana, put a 1/1 counter on it, something, hopefully it dies. If it does, you draw a card. If not, it just gets a -1/-1 counter. Hopefully your deck has things that interact with that, you know, whenever you put a counter on something, you untap something, or whatever, we'll get to cards later that have interactions with a shit ton of -1/-1 counter stuff going on. So, what do you think? 6/5 for 5 mana. Doesn't have any restrictions as far as needing to attack or block, but it's not indestructible. What do you think?
I don't think it's like over like, oh my god, this is amazing, but I think it's a solid card. There's definitely some cards out there and some support for doing -1/-1 counters. So I don't think it's a bad card by any means. I don't know how much play it's going to see, to be honest. But
I also don't know how much play it's going to see. It seems...
Where does it slot in?
Seems grindy.
Yeah.
Grindy is not really...
Those colors.
And it's not going to win. Yeah, you're right. It's also not those colors. And it doesn't seem like it's just going to fucking dominate anything. You know, it seems slow. It seems like you're looking for a turn 10 win with a deck like this.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a... There could be like a Jund -1/-1 counters deck.
With Hapatra and that new spider that helps out Hapatra.
Exactly, just grinding out like incremental value here and there. And there's a lot of synergy with it.
So green, black, red?
Yeah.
You said, okay.
And if it's going to be good, who knows? But I just know that there's a lot of synergy with this set to be had with -1/-1 counters. So we'll have to see if it takes off or not. And if it's even worth going into red. You know, for that.
Might just be green-black, yeah.
So I'm pretty excited to see some more, like, you know, more targeted for particular things, hate cards. Like, you know, how Glare of Heresy was a great fucking card during Theros Block for sideboarding stuff and whatnot for anything white permanents. But things like Liliana's Defeat for single black. Destroy target black creature or black planeswalker. If that permanent was a Liliana planeswalker, her controller loses 3 life. It's a card that probably won't see a whole lot of play except for the fact that mono black zombies is a fucking thing. So if you have this for sideboard cards against that kind of thing, you just kill whatever the fuck you want. And I just hate back in Standard. I like because they've gone so fucking down deep in our throats with creature fucking decks and not giving any support to control or legitimate spells. And it's been creature, fucking creature, creature, creature.
Yeah,
and
when a 5-mana Wrath is hate. The best answer, you're like, ooh, this is kind of what we always have, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. So,
I mean, to go along with that, there's Gideon's Defeat for a single white. This is an instant, which is nice. Exile target white creature that's attacking or blocking. If it was a Gideon Planeswalker, you gain 5 life.
Yeah, same kind of thing. I think they're both fine. I'm not going to put my fucking eggs in that basket, but I...
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's cool that it's there.
Yeah, again, agreed. It's not like it's a fantastic card, but Glare of Heresy saw play. I played that like a motherfucker on my sideboards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can see like Gideon's Defeat in the sideboard just because the Zendikar, 4 mana Gideon is, you know, kind of
next
a dick.
3 months or so, that'll be fucking running rampant.
So what about Hour of Revelations? 3 generic, white, 6 mana sorcery. It says destroy all non-land permanents, but it also says that it costs 3 less to cast, so that means just 3 white mana. If there are 10 or more non-land permanents on the battlefield. So there's got to be a lot of shit going on, so that means kind of like... See, here's the problem with this. It's kind of sort of late game, because there's going to be 10 fucking permanents out there, non-land permanents. And so you don't really need it to be only 3 mana at that point, right? So it's sweet that this thing says that it could be for a board wipe for fucking everything for only 3 white. But it also is saying that... You want to do this on turn 7, and that's not really.
Well, I think the part of that though is gives you if that's what's going on, and you're like, say your control deck is, you get to go ahead and wipe everything away
and
not have
first.
Perlings Walkers, not have, rebuild first, or cast this and then play your controlled creature. Maybe you have fucking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 mana, whatever. You just wipe everything out of the fucking way, then you drop your creature and you're sitting there with the fucking negate back, you know, backer on it. I mean, that's how I see this card getting played, because you're right, like. Yeah, it's cool that it gets that lower mana cost to do it, but at that point, kind of who cares unless you have a game plan to go with it.
Also, triple white, dude. Triple white is fucking way rough, you know?
I mean, this is like this is a EDH card for sure.
Yeah. I do like that it hits everything. Between planeswalkers, artifacts, enchantments. I mean, that part's pretty sweet, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why we get that triple fucking white on that thing.
Yeah. The thing is, another thing with this is that fucking, if it is an EDH, which it would be set off really easily... is that you still have your mana rocks that you want to keep.
Yeah, yeah.
And it destroys those too. So I'm just not sold on this card. Let's say that. I read it at first. I'm like, oh, damn, 3 mana. And then you got to think about the use and use case. And you're like, no, I don't think I'm going to use this at all. I don't think so. So anyways, got some invocations. I'm moving right past those. All right, how about this? Supreme Will. 2 and a blue instant uncommon. Choose one. Counter target spell unless its controller plays 3 generic mana. And that was the first, you know, choose one. Second one is look at the top 4 cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
So I want to see if our opinion is different on this card. So I'm going to ask you to go first.
I think this card's great.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
I feel the same. I fucking love this card. So I'm one of those players like, you're not a big fan of Mana Leak? I love Mana Leak.
Well, I don't like Mana Leak and Tiny Leaders.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I love Mana Leak, but there is a problem with that. You get to a late game, if you happen to get to a late game, like you're playing more of a grind control deck, and Mana Leak becomes almost unplayable most of the time because it's just going to sit in your hand because at that point, they're probably going to have plenty of lands to tap for it, and you probably cast one early game, so now they're going to play around it late game. This card goes, okay, now they know I have basically Mana Leak except for one more mana. Now I get to go ahead and draw a card instead, or excuse me, rearrange the top of my deck.
Yeah, no, I think Mana Leak
put one in your hand.
Mana Leak is a sweet
card. You
can
draw a card in the top 4. I mean, it's Supreme Will is a fucking... I think it's a great fucking card.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, just leaving it open on turn 3, being like, all right, I can deal with that card they played. I don't need to worry about it. Okay, let me just go ahead and draw a card from the top 4. Like, that's pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty outstanding,
I think. Are we talking about that fucking blue spell?
Supreme Will?
Oh, the 3 mana one?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
I love it so much.
I love it so much.
It's going to revolutionize control decks... just because of the versatility. Sure, you have to pay one more mana for 2 effects that single, you know, on their own would cost 2 mana, but just the fact that you have the versatility, that's exactly what control decks want to do. You don't cast, you know, your opponent doesn't cast anything and that you want to counter, then you get to look at the top cards.
What's that one card that it's one blue red and you can, like, do 2 damage and distribute them, or you can draw a card, or...
Electrolyze?
Yeah, Electrolyze. Is that what it is? Yeah. That one is,
the same reason.
It's the same reason.
Yeah, either or, it's you do 2 damage, and you draw a card.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Okay. Either way, that it's still like, it feels like one of those cards, though, to me, still.
That's just pure
value.
It's
like, that it's not that good of a card on its own, but just, if you can get fucking value at the right time, it's a fantastic card. I haven't seen that card played in like 2 years, though. It was really strong back in the day.
It's definitely not as good at the moment, but it's still played.
Yeah.
Wasn't it played in like the Delver decks and stuff like that?
It was. Yeah. Not anymore, though. Yeah. So that's kind of strange. I haven't seen it. All right. Dream Stealer.
Dream Stealer.
2 and a black. 3 mana. For a human wizard, 1/2 stats. It has menace, and it has whenever this thing deals combat damage to a player, that player discards that many cards. So right now you're hitting for 1. Turn 4, you're hitting for 1. They're discarding 1 card. But it has Eternalize for 6 mana. And Eternalize, as we will get onto with all the other creatures, it always makes a 4/4 black zombie. So it turns whatever this card is into, you exile this card from your graveyard, and you create a token that's a copy of this card, except that it always has base stats of 4/4, and it's a black zombie, plus whatever other creature types it has.
And when you activate it, you have to yell, Megamorph!
You have to yell Megamorph.
Yeah, exactly what needs to happen.
So, on the surface, this card looks fun, it looks good, like the idea of, like, oh, it comes with 4/4, I'm going to make them discard 4 cards. Realistically, whenever a card like this occurs, where you're trying to, like, mid-late game, they can discard a bunch of cards. Typically, unless you're playing some control deck that's going to continue to refill their hand, this isn't really doing all that much. You're never, almost never going to actually make them discard 4 cards.
So you're saying this card's not going to be worth value ever, no matter what?
I don't...
It's going to be worth... It's going to be a rare
bulk rare. Yeah, I think it's going to be 10 cents, personally.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm looking at it, I love the idea. I love making people discard their cards. I love the idea of it. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the Eternalized part, you know, it's expensive, but if it had just that creature, like, for 4 mana or something like that, and you just could, you attack and discard 4 cards, that's fucking huge.
Oh, amazing. But
it's, yeah, turn 7 attacking for that, and they have...
Unless you're playing against
cards.
A nice Kefnet deck where he's like all, you know, his hands full the whole time.
They already have
but
removal.
That's not a deck that's around.
They don't have that many cards.
That's a junk meta over here for Knife. That's fun to play, but it's not a real deck.
Yeah. And I have a handful of answers, too.
Yeah. And at that point, if they're playing control and their hands full of cards, they're going to kill that fucker before you let it hit. So I didn't think this is a 10-cent card. The artwork's sick on it, though. It's pretty sweet.
All right, let me talk about one more because it's crap. okay. Oketra's Last Mercy. It's 3 mana, 1 white-white. Sorcery. Your life total becomes equal to your starting life total. Lands you control don't untap during your last your next untap step. So it's every color has one of these cycles, and it's a really powerful effect on the cheap, except that I don't give a shit about this effect, and I'm the one here that loves life gain. So we're going to pretty much move right past this fucking card, because nobody
Sounds good.
Gives a shit. Like, if you fucking gain life but can't do anything your next turn, you just lost that same life. You know what I mean? You go
Pretty
back
much.
To 20,
Unless
you're probably getting hit by 10 again the very next turn, and you can't do anything about it.
Unless you're, like, board wiping and then playing this, but...
Even still, man. Even still.
Even still. Did you not talk about Mirage Mirror?
No, that's the next one I was bringing up, too.
Oh,
I'm so
buddy.
Stoked
oh, it's
this
on the
card.
Same row.
Take it away.
Right? No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Same row right there. Mirage Mirror, for 3 mana, it's an artifact.
Oh, that one.
Pay 2. Mirage Mirror becomes a copy of target artifact, creature, artifact, creature, enchantment, or land until end of turn. Fuck yeah.
I think EDH will be
loving
the
God,
shit
yeah.
out of this card.
I'm not looking at this for standard, but fuck me. For EDH, this card's fucking amazing.
I will.
Hi, my name's Mirage Mirror Foils, and I'm going to be up in the fucking sky for the entirety of my life.
You know what? I don't think so. So that would be good for you, because then you can buy them, a lot of them, for the cheap.
Why would it not
be? I feel like this card, once it gets released, the foils will easily be under $10. And that'll be good, because
right?
then you can just buy a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion about it, how much it'll cost.
But you're thinking they're going to stay that or going to go up?
It will take a long time for them to go up. It'll take them at least 2 years to go up. I think this card, it's really good, and it should be played in a lot of commander decks. But I think that it will be a cheaper foil staple.
I think there's a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, I'm on Corey's side of the fence right
that's
here.
That's fine. We're good. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I mean, there's a reason, like, copying enchantment's still, like, a $10 card. Like,
you can give me back
my
expedition when you lose.
Yeah.
it's just fucking... It's great value for EDH.
Oh,
man.
It's
there's,
fucking
oh, there's so
card.
Much good shit to fucking be able to
totally
turn into.
Playing the shit out of this
And
card.
Then it's like, oh, this turn I want more mana. Next turn, I'm going to take your creature and attack that guy with it. Or whatever may have you.
You know, by the time this comes out, it's going to be different. But in the pre-release, pre-sale thing right now, there are like no foils on TCG. Nobody is.
Nobody does
yeah.
foils.
No, they do. Every
no,
single
not,
they do.
Not
really.
Not a lot
no.
of people.
I buy every single set.
I'm not saying there aren't ever, but stores not usually many. Stay yeah. away from the presale foils.
I get okay. Just I get what you're saying. The problem is, I buy foils every single presale. And I bought like
good. I bought three.
You
it's okay.
Buy them from,
you'll also suck
Pink
penis,
Bunny.
And we don't. Yeah. So like you know, good for you. But whatever, suck a dick.
Well, you just said there's hardly anybody, but I still buy them every single set.
Yeah,
I buy foils every single set.
Good
this
for
time,
you. Good for you, bro.
This time there are zero stores.
That's because you're. It's because you're wrong because they don't actually pre-sale them ever. So
yeah, ever. Yeah.
You just buy them like the first day, and you're like, I pre-set.
Yeah.
I pre-ordered.
Thank you. I was struggling. For that word, what does it mean? What's the opposite
back,
of
bro.
Sale? Order, okay. Thanks.
I can't convince you guys, but I can bring a lot of cards, and that may show you something.
I don't mean shit. You could have bought them after. You can't prove it.
You can't prove it.
You don't got a paper receipt.
I do. I actually do. I literally have it on my phone right now.
That's not paper. I said paper.
I can print it out. Use your crappy printer and print it out.
You could also fake that. You forged it. You took that much time to do it.
Right.
Right.
Ruminap Hydra for 3 and a green. It's a snake Hydra. 3/3 body with vigilance, reach, and trample. Ruminap Hydra gets a +1/+1 as long as you control a desert. It also gets +1/+1 as long as there's a desert card in your graveyard. I'm kind of excited about the fact that all these cycle of desert cards. I like when they have a lands matters kind of situations on cards. And some of these deserts are actually not bad, and then also they add cycling again to these lands for you know the set of like there's a land card for each one of the gods from the last set like Desert of the Glorified, Desert of the Mindful, of the True, and it's just kind of a not like those cards are fucking fantastic, but I enjoy that them bringing these deserts back and having
yes desert is fucking it's sweet. I think this card's gonna be worth nothing. I mean I think this is kind of like that Converge
yeah.
Hydra dude that yeah. like you can it could become a 6/6 with trample and vigilance for only 4 mana for 4 different colors whatever. Or even a 5/5 for 3 color decks, whatever. And that didn't see any fucking play. And this is going to be...
We played the fuck out of it because when we played it was fantastic.
Yeah,
but,
yeah
you're
yeah.
right.
But I think this is going to be a 5/5 at its biggest. And that's fine, but that's not a constructed all-star. Even at a 5/5
agreed,
on the stats.
Agreed. It is amazing. It's very rare to see those fucking mechanics on one card. Vigilance, Reach, and Trample.
Pretty
that's
cool. no,
fucking
yeah.
stupid
It
good.
Excites me but, as that kind of player because I love these kind of cards.
Yeah.
But and I play them, but it's not going to be worth anything.
Yeah,
and you're not
I thoroughly,
see it.
Thoroughly agree with you.
You're not going to see it in paper. You're going to see it on Modo, maybe. And that's it.
So next we have... Did you already say Naheeb?
You're a Naheeb.
Naheeb, the Eternal, 3 red for
the
a
zombified
4/6.
One.
Legendary creature, zombie, minotaur, warrior. A flick 3. Do we talk about flick yet?
No.
Flick is whenever this creature becomes blocked, defending player loses 3 life. So a
X.
flick X, you know, and target player loses, defending player loses X life. At the beginning of your post-combat main phase, add a mountain to your mana pool for each 1 life your opponents have lost this turn. So when I read this card, I think of, like, Rakdos EDH decks. What's that one fucking commander, like, you can only play it if opponents lost life this turn, and then, like, creature spells cost X less.
Yeah, that
or
red, black, 6/6
Rakdos
flyer.
That is literally Rakdos.
Is his name Rakdos?
Yeah, that is.
That is literally Rakdos.
But perfect. What's the name of the card?
Rakdos.
It's called Rakdos, Rakdos.
So yeah, that's really the only place I see this getting played. I mean, it's a sweet card.
It is a sweet card.
It's
and, like,
flavorful,
it's cool.
And it's a zombie minotaur warrior. But standard, no.
Is afflict kind of like a form of evasion? Where, like, they don't want to block it because they're just going to take damage anyways and lose their creature. So it's like, why would you block it if... Instead, you just take 4 and keep your creature, or you just take 3 and then lose your creature. It's, like, kind of the same, right?
I think it's going to be very oppressive. Like, Afflict is going to be a fucking pain in the ass. And it's a type of thing, like, for me, loving attrition, I love Afflict mechanic.
I feel like
it's,
I would just take 4.
It's too much.
I think I would just take 4, like, almost every time. Unless, like, of course, I'm bigger. That's a stupid thing, but... I think I'd be like, yeah, I'll just take 4 and then save my fucking creatures and swing back or do whatever else I can with them.
I was going to say
it's dependent on what else the card
yeah.
says. If the card is being a pain in the ass for the rest of the game affecting other things besides attacking, then yeah, you want to get rid of it.
The question is, though, is it a form of evasion?
I think it's a form of deterrence.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, essentially same thing, just a little bit different because it's, you know...
It's like from the you know the Theros block when like your opponent could choose. Basically, your
tribute.
Yeah, tribute. Your
best mechanic.
Horrible
ever
fucking mechanic. God, I was so fucking stupid.
You're basically giving your opponent the choice to you know block and take damage, or just let the damage through. I don't think anybody's like chump blocking this guy. You know what I mean? Oh, I want to save that one like extra damage.
Yeah.
At the cost of a creature.
But it's a big dude, and that six booty will pretty much get through anything. So
oh, yeah.
I feel like everything's gonna be chump blocking it. You know what I mean? Like what has bigger than a four booty in standard right now? Fucking basically nothing. Ishkana. Like I mean, there's really not much shit out there that has bigger butts. Maybe some gods.
So speaking of sweet desert fucking cards, you got two desert land rares. In Hostile Desert, which is comes in, tap for regular mana, pay two, exile a land card from your graveyard, Hostile Desert becomes a 3/4 elemental creature until end of turn, it's still a land. Scavenger Grounds, again, tap for, you know, colorless mana, pay two, tap it, sacrifice a desert, exile all cards from all graveyards. It's just... I'm happy with these desert cards.
These desert cards are sweet.
Desert's meaning things is fucking, it's pretty cool, man.
Scavenger Grounds basically says in EDH, pay two and tap this and sacrifice it. Exile all cards from all graveyards.
Yeah.
Kind of fucking good.
Yeah.
Just if that's the only desert you're playing, yeah, I can see that being
also,
great.
You can, I mean, there are land recursion type things as well. You
right.
can get shit back. I can even get it back with frickin' Seasons Past. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So that's it's a nice, that's a very nice card. And should be.
Well, the thing that you're saying, though, is if you sacrifice this, it goes to the graveyard and then exiles all cards from all graveyards. So it'd be gone. You wouldn't be able to get it back with Seasons Past.
Sacrifice. Well, yeah, you're right. How about this? Sacrifice a desert. Play more.
Agreed. I'm just saying,
yeah, you're
if,
right.
if it's
true.
Just that's one.
Well, goddamn it.
Yeah. Took away your plan.
Ooh, you know, this card is getting a whole lot of attention.
Yeah, as soon as it was spoiled, I called dibs. And then I was like, damn it, the scare of God came. Fuck.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'll leave that for you.
Okay.
I'm talking about the...
Solemnity.
Necropolis. Synonymies. Solemnity. Solemnity. Solemnity.
Sound it out.
Solemnity.
Salinity.
Salimity. Salemnity.
Soul ring?
Salemnity.
Salamander?
Salamity.
Salamander-ty.
Salmonella?
Salmity.
Two and a white for an enchantment. Players can't get counters. Counters can't be put on artifacts, creatures, enchantments, or lands.
You're welcome, Legacy Lands. Dark Depths, here you come. Another way for instead of having to get Thespian Sage as well.
I mean, this affects so much in all of Magic. Like you said, to get the Dark Depths in there with no counters.
Oh, you're playing Infect? I don't care.
Yeah, Infect, go fuck yourself.
Suck a dick!
Also, energy counters.
Energy counters?
You can't get energy counters.
See, I mean,
that's kind
just
of
like
crazy.
Bunch
That'll
of answers,
decks.
Bunch of answers for
this
Marvel.
This card is pretty fucking silly.
Oh, you're playing one of those commanders that gives you experience counters? Ah, no, you're not. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a card that when I saw it, I'm like, did they really print this?
Yeah.
You know,
like, whoa.
Damn,
like, I'm
dude.
Happy there's hate, but they brought super hate in that card.
Super hate.
Or even, like, your deck, the EDH deck. What's the commander? The counters, bitch.
Yeah, you already just talked about that, though.
What, the proliferate, dude?
No, I was talking about experience counters.
Yeah, he was talking about my fucking Azuri.
No.
Renegade Claw.
No. The Super Friends deck.
Well, then that would
Atraxa.
Have been Atraxa.
Atraxa, yeah. Fuck you, Atraxa.
Yeah, don't worry about him. He's fine.
He literally just said that and you ignored him to go back to what...
He said Atraxa?
Yeah.
Or he said proliferate.
Okay, yeah, but that's that same deck.
Okay. I wanted to know the card name, so... Okay.
Atraxa.
You know.
The sweet fucking Praetor. That bitch
yeah, Praetor's
go ahead.
That bitch whatever.
Is some good artwork.
Sacrifice the desert, whatever.
So I,
go on to your... go on to your god.
You okay. go on to the god.
You shut up, Shamley Vent.
That happened once.
But it will forever follow
you.
You
fuck one goat, you're a goat fucker for life. I got it.
True story.
The Locust God for 4, blue and a red, legendary creature god, 4/4 flyer. Whenever you draw a card, create a 1/1 blue and red insect creature token with flying and haste. Pay 2, blue and a red, draw a card, then discard a card. Whenever Locust God dies, turn to the owner's hand at the beginning of the end step. Yeah. Fuck yeah. That card is stupid. stupid. EDH, bring it in there. Fucking, you're paying six mana one time. Let's say exile it. Why ever pay its cost again? They come back to your hand and always pay six for it. And then from there, just fucking, you don't even have to play other creatures, really. Just play all fucking draw spells and counter and control stuff. And just sit there and just fucking fly the goddamn board with 1/1 flyers.
Yeah, I think that's what red and blue wants to do.
Yeah, just all spells, baby. I won't be doing like with Reich where he's doing like the whole storm out fucking combo shit. I am going to be more just a straightforward.
More of a good person?
Yeah, so we can actually still play. But I mean, like, I love drawing cards.
For EDH, you're like totally excited for this card.
Yes, yes, yes. Fuck, even for actual standard construction play, this is a viable control card. Playing decks, they're going bigger, playing fucking Grixis with this or something like that. You sit there, control the board, get this guy in the field, and then just draw cards and have your 1/1s to beat down, and that's your win condition.
Ooh, baby, I love your way with Fraying Insanity. 2 and a blue enchantment.
So bad.
Aura, not even close to on melody.
Aura curse.
I hate this cast sometimes.
Enchant.
I hate you all the time.
Enchant player, at the beginning of each end step, enchanted player puts the top X cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, where X is the number of cards put into the graveyard from anywhere this turn. So, guess what? I cast that spell that makes you mill half your deck.
Traumatize.
And then you mill the other half of your deck. And you're dead.
Yeah.
Good game.
Yeah. This card is fucking sweet, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely putting this in my EDH mill deck because that just seems fun. And that's, like, cool art. I'd like a foil of that.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty bad. It'll be sweet. Fucking cheap, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody's really playing this shit, so, like,
nobody.
It's foils funny, like, will be $3.
Throw this sweet mill card in this set, and, like, where's the other mill support? Where is this actually hitting? It's not.
That's what they do. They're afraid to give us
more goddamn like, deck tease.
Yeah, more than one or two mill cards per set. They're like, okay.
It's so overpowered. It's like Storm Reincarnate, okay? Milling is too much.
Yeah. This is Phyrexian mana all over again.
You're going to mill the scavenger grounds their fucking graveyard ways. I can't even play anymore. It's not nice. It is not. It's an uncouth.
It's working against Eternalize, guys. Come on. Mega lies.
Mega lies.
go ahead, Sauce.
That one got me.
It was delayed.
Stupid. Unesh. Creo Sphinx Sovereign.
No, thank you. I'm fine.
I know, really.
Wait, you're going to go past Crook of Condemnation?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Because I said you 6 mana, silly. 4 and 2 blue for a mythic legendary creature, Sphinx. It's 4/4 flyer. Sphinx spells you cast cost 2 generic less to cast. Whenever this or another Sphinx enters the battlefield under your control, reveal the top 4 cards of your library. An opponent separates those cards into 2 piles. Put 1 pile in your hand and the other in your graveyard. So, I don't know what the fuck I'm reading right now. Like, where is this card going to be played? Does anyone really care about Sphinxes? I know there's, like, always... See, it's like Dragon's Light. Like, everyone, there's always Sphinxes all floating around. They're all huge and super expensive, and they're awesome, but really people don't play them. So, what does this do?
And then, even from there, like, the first glance, like, oh, fucking sweet. Finally, a Sphinx tribal commander for EDH. Problem is, yes, there are plenty of mono blue Sphinxes, but the majority of, like, legit Sphinxes are actually typically blue white. So, the fact that you cut out that white out of this card, there will be EDH decks, I'm sure, but. There's so many Sphinxes that are blue-white. The majority of the good ones are blue-white. So this card ends up being kind of a... Fuck, this sucks. There should be some white activation cost in there.
This card is...
Or something.
This card's powerful as shit. Like, just being able to do that Jace's Architect of Thought minus or whatever it is every fucking time is pretty amazing. But, like, yeah, I don't... Who the fuck's asking for this card? Who's asking for this... Sphinx,
well,
legendary
you know why they're printing this?
For,
because
Commander Dude.
They realized that they had fucked up, you know, back into Shadows of Innistrad and when they didn't print a legendary werewolf, and everybody got so up in arms for not having a legendary commander for werewolves and whatnot, so they went into the fucking the next set, Eldritch Moon, and made that wolf. And even though he sucks dick, they realized going forward that they want to create tribal commanders for people to play with, because that's what a lot of people are asking for. So I think that's where this came from, other than Sphinxes being a lore-centric situation for Egyptian-themed world. that's where this stems from, I believe.
And then Ixalan will be like a Tribal Matters set, so maybe this will get some kind of help later on, but I kind of doubt
There's always sphinxes in every set, pretty much, so...
Yeah.
All I know...
there's dinosaurs, you know, and fucking pirates, do you really want sphinxes mucking about in your world? I don't think so.
All I know is that there's some interspecies loving about to go down in this next card. Hour of Glory.
It's whispering into its ear, saying, this will only take a second, baby.
Enemy within?
It'll only sting for a second. Three and a black. It's an instant. Exile target creature. If that creature was a god, its controller reveals his or her hand and exiles all cards from it with the same name as that card. And there's the scorpion god just massaging the snake god's back. Snakes don't, like... it looks like he's massaging his shoulders, but snakes don't have fucking shoulders, so I don't know what he's touching. But he's rubbing them.
Oh, you're so slithery.
And he's about to, you know, stick his stinging tail.
Actually, you know what? You're wrong, though. That's a naga. Nagas do have arms.
That's a naga. There needs to be, like, a little word bubble above him, and then people just need to go crazy and put whatever they think he's saying into that guy's...
Yeah.
Whatever he was whispering.
Yeah.
So this is like...
Too deep.
This is like Deicide or Deicide or whatever it was.
Yeah, Deicide.
Or Gold... Guild.
Oh, Guild.
Yeah.
So this is... But the Deicide, whatever, Deicide, that was 2 mana in white, and it exiled only enchantments. And then if it was a god, you can do the same text. But it actually better than this text, because it searches the whole deck and gets rid of all of them.
Right.
So this was... That was better for the old gods. This is... Exile any creature, so that's pretty cool because it just gets any target creature, but it doesn't have as cool of text because, like, how often are you going to be playing 4 of the same god in a deck and have the chances of actually having that second part of the text relevant? Probably so, not.
Yeah,
to me, it's just
exile
target creature for 4 mana.
Yeah, so I agree with you. Like, that second part isn't that big of a deal for it. I think the redeeming factor for this card, though, is it is an instant, so I think that makes it playable. With removal factors or anything, you can still play this as a 1 or 2 of in a control deck, and it's still something that's viable in case they have a god that you're fucking worried about.
Yeah, I kind of see it being very, like, a little bit playable, like a 1 of in a sideboard or something like that. Like, very little play, but I can see it.
I mean, if it's a sorcery, I mean, fuck you, but this having the instant on there makes it...
If it was a sorcery, then yeah, there's just, why did you guys even fucking print this card?
I mean, outside of standard LC, no play.
You want some Scarab God?
Agreed.
You want to hit that up?
Before that,
and that's fine, you had that card. I want to talk about Reason to Believe. As far as
Give
like modern now, so Reason, it's a single blue, scry 3. The aftermath half of that is for 4 and a green. Look at the top card of your library. You may put that card onto the battlefield if it's a creature card. If you don't, put it into your hand. So... For me, I'm not even excited about the green part of this. Like, that part's cool, but whatever. I'm not looking to play Simic with it. For Modern and everything now, there's so... Like, control is so hard to play in Modern because they've taken away so many cantrips. There's barely draw cards or things like that. And so this card, you're not drawing, but that getting the Scry 3 just helps you fucking filter through and get to what you need. That I think it's a card you have to look at for a possibility of playing in Modern in that situation for it. I'm not saying it's fantastic because
the first one is
you don't want to draw a card with that to make those cantrips so much better, but that Scry 3 on there is quite powerful.
I think it's okay. I think it's still card disadvantage, even though like you're kind of... Scrying is kind of like drawing half a card or something like that, so I think it does something, but that second part, kind of wish it just costed 4 mana.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't see who's going to play this card. I think it's, you know, like a lot of cards we're reading, there's pretty cool cards, and they can have potential to be powerful, but, like, I kind of want the cast trigger of a big creature, more or less. I kind of want it to be a little cheaper. You know, it may not even, I don't know, it just, even when your first 3 scries, or you scry 3, maybe you're not hitting anything that's even worth 5 mana, so it's not even worth your time. Kind
of
just
that's why I'm saying for me, I'm not even looking at the green side of this, I'm looking at the blue. Like, to a point, I'm not saying it's fantastic, but that's the point. We don't have enough good filtering and cantrip style cards in Modern for blue. And so, for me, I'm gonna try this. I'm not saying it's fantastic, but I'm gonna test it out, see if it's viable.
Let me go and just say, like, Oath of Nyssa is like far and above better than Reason, you know what I mean? I think that,
yeah,
you need
but
to
I'm
put
not looking to play
here.
Green.
Yeah, but you—that's fine. But you have green in the other thing. So for the most people out there that are going to be looking at this card, you're playing both colors, and Oath of Nyssa is already just better.
Let's just say this is a worse and overcosted Marvel activation.
So, yeah. Could be.
Could, I mean, basically it is.
Could be.
So, I mean, I feel so honored that you guys would just, you know, give this one to me.
Oh, you mean the best card
discuss
in the set?
The best card in the fucking set.
Jesus Christ.
Which is the Scarab God, which we need to give him some sort of, like, nickname or something, because I don't want to say the Scarab God.
Dimir Stinky Fingers.
It's fucking Stinky Fingers, dude.
Dude, what I love, too, is that his Scarab head there in the art is very quite similar to the Dimir House Signet.
That is very spot on.
Well, it is a Scarab. The Dimir House Signet is a Scarab. That's what the symbol
You don't tell me.
It is.
No.
It's a beetle. My bad. It's a beetle.
No.
Not a Scarab.
It's a spider.
It's a spider.
Fucking Sauce coming through with that Vorthos shit. Damn.
Nigga don't know.
You don't know. So, for 3 blue and a black, it's a legendary creature, God. At the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent loses X life, and you scry X, where X is the number of zombies you control.
Oh, God.
Ooh. And it's a 5/5.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's good. We don't need anything else. Oh, wait, there's more. 2 blue and a black. Exile target creature card from a graveyard. Create a token that's a copy of it, except it's a 4/4 black zombie.
Oh.
That's not a tap ability. So if you're late game in EDH, you can just fucking token
it up. And that's not your graveyard, that's a graveyard. So anything you've already killed, you get to go ahead and say, no, that Consecrated Sphinx is my 4/4 Consecrated Sphinx now.
And it's gone forever because you exile that card from the graveyard, which is also just nice because recursion's a thing.
This card is stupid.
And you get to, let's just go back to the top part. Zombies play a lot of zombies. Zombies play a lot of zombies, bro.
That is an astute analysis, Skipper.
It is. It is very serious. This is complex thinking at its top fucking tier.
Hot off the press.
This just in.
Yeah. Zombies plays more zombies than I play.
Hold on. We have breaking news. Breaking news.
This just in, Bob.
You play more zombies on the battlefield than I get fucking...
Then you have hairs on your ass.
No.
That's a lot.
Impossible.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
man.
Those
reoccur too, man.
The Sapperling
deck is all about making fucking, like, little dudes.
Yeah.
Little one-ones, whatever. And this, you will have more zombies than I will have fucking Sapperlings. That's how many fucking zombies you can get on the goddamn board. So... I am expecting to lose 10 fucking life and you scry 10. And that is, like, not text that should be on a card.
And not even hard to do.
It's so fucking ridiculous. So,
keep this in mind. It says each opponent.
Oh God.
So, there's been a lot of talk about, like, does this replace your zombie commander? And Hot Sauce even asked, are you going to replace your zombie commander?
And the answer is,
with this one.
Of course, are you shitting me?
And my answer is no. Because I need to make a whole new deck around this guy. This guy deserves... It's more... You're going for more of a horde, going wide sort of thing. So that means a lot of more tokens.
What was that? From Under the Floorboards? Is that card that...
Yeah.
No, not that one. What's the one that makes 13 zombies? Then
Army flashback. Of the Damned.
Army of the Damned?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
I mean, I already play, like, most of the...
And you know what? That card has flashback. You can have 26
fucking
zombies.
Crazy, dude.
And then throw Liliana's Mastery on it, and they're all 3/3 zombies.
So I already...
And you got 28 zombies. And zombies! And zombies! And then you ultimate Liliana, and you have 40-something zombies. I'm getting lightheaded. It's so many zombies.
You actually get, like, 70-something zombies, but yeah, it's fine.
I know. I got too excited. I said the number. I'm like, that's not right. That's too little. I need more zombies.
So, I don't even know where to go. I'm so, like, so much energy coming at me.
And then you play that monument card, the Eldrazi monument, whatever, and then everything is indestructible.
Yeah.
And we can't even board wipe them.
And then
we just fucking lose.
Sacrifice one zombie.
Oh, yeah, one zombie. Woo! Oh, one zombie. Oh, man.
So I
only got 72 zombies. I can suck one at a time.
And I got Grave Packed out.
Yes! Yes! And then Dictate of Erebos, too, so just ding 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 ding.
That's what it is.
So,
that's the sound zombies make when they
yeah,
die.
Yeah, when they're fucking your face.
Ding, 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 ding.
I think this god deserves a brand new zombie deck. Even though I'm playing, like, 75% of the same cards in my other zombie deck, this deserves its own deck. And I think, like...
Well, you're going to tear apart your old deck to get it because you're going to buy new cards. It sounds like you probably want to just tear the other one apart for at least
maybe
a little bit.
All I know is that I want, like, 1/4 of this deck, maybe 1/5, to be, like, mill. Like, reoccurring mill. Not, like, single targeted, you mill 10, but, like, some...
So he's a tutelage.
You want shit to fill the graveyard so you have more targets to exile creatures.
Exactly. Just, like, a small portion of the deck to be mill, so I can just have options whenever I cast this guy.
What's that, Jace's Eraser one? Or not Eraser, but the enchantment where they mill one each time. If you have
it sounds something like that, yeah.
Yeah, whenever
like
an opponent...
Whenever you draw a card, I think, they...
That's Sphinx's tutelage. Whenever an opponent casts a spell... Like
yeah.
Or whenever a creature attacks you. There's a bunch of like reoccurring mill cards. So I'd probably just throw a bunch of those enchantments in here just to get the engine started, because it's not going to be that hard to activate his ability when his cost is pretty much always going to stay the same unless he's exiled, or when he goes back to your hand, somehow they make you discard it, then it will go back to the command zone, and you'll have to pay the extra
mana. That's one of the best things about these gods for, like, commander-wise, is the fact that, fuck your fucking commander costs anymore, I don't give a shit, unless you're deicide my dude, suck my dick.
Oh yeah, and
it's
coming
back for free.
I forgot to read...
For 5 mana rather than having extra pay.
Forgot to read that last text of when it dies, return it to your hand at the beginning of the next end step. So it's just, it's crazy. More often than not, if you play this as your commander, it's just going to be 5 the entire time.
Crazy card.
And even if it does go up, it's not like it's going to be other commanders where eventually it's going to be like, fuck, I need to, it's 12 mana to cast this. It's going to go up to like 7, you know, and that's it.
How
for
many
the rest
times
are
you exiling this bitch? I mean, really?
Yeah.
So, I want to talk about another important card. It is not the best card in the set, but it's real good. And it's Claim to Fame. Claim to motherfucking Flame. Flame.
Okay.
Flame. Claim reads, 1 black mana, sorcery, return target creature card with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard right onto the fucking battlefield. 1 black mana. Fame reads, well, it's aftermath card, of course. Cast it from your graveyard, then exile it. Target creature gets +2/+0 and gains haste until end of turn. So, that first part, though, unearth. Fucking super strong. Returns Jace. Returns Tarmogoyf. Returns Death Shadow. Returns fucking everything that is relevant and modern for 1 black mana, and then you can just give it haste and kill your opponent with Death Shadow right on the fucking spot.
Ooh.
But even still, just the 1 black mana, return whatever you fucking want, generally speaking, is insane, and the foils of this card have got to be just through the fucking roof.
Like, Jun can just get silly with this in modern.
So this card's gotta be like $20+.
Jace, when we and him were hanging out playing some Magic, and he showed me this card, and the first thing he said, he was talking about how excited he is about it, and talking about this Death Shadow plan, this and that. He's like, I don't care how much these cost. Like, if they're under $3 or under $10 or whatever the fuck he said for it, like, I'm buying like literally $300 with this card. Like, he was like full bore, I am buying like 300 copies of this in foil.
Dude, seriously, I gotta see how much they are, but I just feel this card is very fucking strong, and it's a card that only gets better with time. And it's a fucking, you know, it's an aftermath card. It's not getting reprinted. You know what I mean? It'll be reprinted like sometime in the future, but
until this card takes off, until 2 months from now when they have From the Vault Aftermath.
Yeah. I feel like this card won't be reprinted, even if it's good, for like 4 years. So,
and like you said,
this card is crazy good, though.
It does get better with time, just like Coco, just like anything, like the more creatures they print, it might not be every set, but every couple sets, there's going to be a fucking gnarly 2-drop that's going to be worth bringing back.
I see no matter how good this card is, I feel like the non-foils can only get up to like $6, $7, no matter how many times he's played. Like, it could only be that. And that I see it being around
That's a high number for
right.
it.
I see it about $2 or $3 probably for this card, maybe $2 for this card within the next 2 years, whatever. But foils, I see being $20 plus. So if I do see them pre-selling for $8 or $9, whatever, I'm just literally going to spend $200 and fucking buy all the foils I can.
The thing is, I think you're going to get lucky. I don't think that people are seeing that yet. I haven't seen anybody talk about that besides you. And I think you're going to get lucky on the price to begin with. So I think you're going to be able to buy this fucking pretty fucking cheap for a foil to begin with. Until somebody says, hey, Death Shadow,
it might
here
take
it
a
is.
Year or and, even 3 years
well,
to take
I'm saying,
off.
I bet you that it's
going to
slot
good about
Death
holding
Shadow
these
deck
cards.
And it's going to fucking go off on an SCG tournament. People are like, holy shit, I didn't think of this. And that at that point, you already have your 300 foils, and you're going to make fucking 10 grand. Like, well, that's not realistic. But.
Not realistic, but still. I just think this card is super important. I want just 4 foils for myself. I see myself playing this card. I like playing black-red. So, yeah, I'm down. I'm totally down with
pretty
this
sweet.
Fucking card.
So I got one that I'm fucking really excited about, being a Tokens fan, and for me, I'd put this card into a token strategy going wide. Driven to Despair. For one to green, Driven, sorcery, until end of turn, creatures you control gain trample, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card. Despair, for one and a black. Aftermath, until end of turn, creatures you control gain menace, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player discards a card. So you just go fucking tokens wide and sit there and hit them for fucking, I don't know, let's say you can easily play both these on the same fucking turn. Hit them, especially with the menace too. Just getting through, you're drawing fucking 7-10 cards and make sure their hand is empty as fuck, and you're just sitting there going, okay, what are you really going to do now? I think Driven to Despair is fucking really exciting for that kind of factor.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to see much play, even though I do agree this card is really, really good. I'm not sure what's out there right now that's going to really want something like this.
Well, there is the green-black counters, and what's that graveyard mechanic right now? Delirium.
Mm-hmm.
That deck is still around. It wasn't seen as much play because of the Marvel situation.
Mm-hmm.
But that Whining Constrictor deck where you're going wide with creatures, this slots real easily into that. So I think we will see this played in Standard.
So, Rona's Last Stand. Green, sorcery. 2-mana sorcery. Create a 5/4 green snake creature token. Lands you control don't untap during your next untap steps. Next in the cycle for Rona's. I don't really care about this card. I think this card is, above the curve. 5/4 for 2-mana is pretty fantastic. But I also feel like we're going to have Fatal Push for the next 18 months. And this is a great target for Fatal Push, and you just get to play your stuff next turn. And it could be just on the end step. You create this thing, sorcery speed, and they're like, cool, Fatal Push, I'm going to go ahead and untap and get all my good shit. You can't untap next time. I get 2 free turns out of it, basically. Like, I could care less.
I think it's a risk-reward situation. Yes, if they have Fatal Push right then, you're fucked. However, if they don't have the answer, you're turn 2 and making a 5/4. That's pretty fucking solid.
It is. You know what also, though, is that fucking Avatar the Resolute is an easy 5/4, 6/5, reach, trample, absolute beast, and nobody gave a shit about that card. So, and I'm just saying that big fucking creatures, you know.
I know, I agree with you that it's not like fantastic, but I think it'll see some play.
It's going to see play. It has to see play on Modo as far as like a kind of inexpensive, you know, mono green, stompy fucking deck or something like that. Totally is going to see play. And it's going to be great because then I get to fucking Fatal Push it and then I win the game afterwards.
Well, I don't think it's going to take off. But you know what card I do think is going to take off is the River Hopo? It's a green...
The River Hopo.
It's
the noise it makes too. Hopo.
It's for green and a blue. It's creature bird has flying. Get it? Take off. It's a 1/3. And that's it. Oh, but wait, for 3 green and a blue, you gain 2 life, draw a card. I don't know. I think it's not, like, flashy, but
I think it'll see
like it.
A possible, yeah, in, like, a Simic ramp deck or something like that. It could see a little bit of play. Otherwise, I just think it's going to be so good and limited that it's going to be a very huge, yeah, it's going to be huge and limited.
For me, like, I loved Fathom Feeder, which was, like, this generation of Baleful Strix, in a sense, where Fathom Feeder was Dimir blue-black for a 1/1 Death Toucher that you could pay 5 mana and exile a card from their library and draw a card. While I love that card, it didn't see play. Not really. And I think this is the same kind of thing that's going to happen there. Like, yes, the idea of it, it's a solid card, but I don't think it's going to
see
play.
I think it'll see play in literally one deck, and then it'll be really good limited. That's what I think.
Yeah, limited, great, but I don't see it being played besides that, personally.
All right. Nimble Obstructionist. 2 and a blue. This is a card that people are actually talking about. 2 and a blue for a flash flying bird wizard. 3 power, 1 toughness. It's got cycling for 3 mana, 2 and a blue. And when you cycle this thing, counter target activated or triggered ability you don't control. So it is, I don't know, Aven Mind Sensor type thing, you know, where you can fucking get them. You get to get them.
Stifle.
And you get left over with a big flyer. I would call it a big flyer for the mana cost.
Well, you don't
3
get
power for 3 mana is pretty fucking good.
You don't get them and get the flyer.
Oh.
But you get to choose.
You're right. But you still get, yeah.
You know,
right.
Like it's late game, you draw it, and you're like, well, I don't have anything to, you know, cancel their trigger, so I'll just play a 3/1 flyer.
If you got to stifle them and get the 3/1 flyer, this card.
Yeah, it's too good.
Gets compared to fucking what's the fairy?
Hot sauce.
The Flash Fairy.
Yes. Hey.
Look at their hand. Put the fucking
The Dillion Click.
Yeah. So like, I don't think it'd be as good as that, but at the same time, it would be a similar power level if you got the 3-1 flyer and you got to basically kill the land off, stop the Planeswalker activation, whatever, you know. But because you don't, like, some people are like in love with this card, and for me, I'm kind of down on it.
Yeah, I'm also. People are talking about it, and I think it's good, but I kind of agree. I don't see myself really giving a shit. I think it'll be fun to get somebody
a 3-mana stifle.
Damn it! You know what I mean? Stifle and draw a card is pretty cool. But yeah, I kind of agree. It's not amazing.
You want to take this demon there, Crow?
No, you got a demon. I'm gonna go over one that you guys kind of skipped over that I think is very solid.
Take it right now.
Clifton Company decks already are fucking great. Coco Toolbox decks are fucking fantastic. They're running rampant in Modern. I think this card can go into them, and I think it can do it easily, especially those combo decks that are doing Coco. Uncage the Menagerie for X and double green. Sorcery. Search your library for X creature cards with different names that have converted mana cost X. Reveal them, put them in your hand, and shuffle your library. So you got Coco at 4 mana. His next turn, if you don't hit the Coco at 5 mana, you can go search out every fucking creature you have at 3 CMC and put them in your hand.
No, it's 3 3-3s, or okay. 2 2-2s, or 4 4-4s. Okay,
my point being is you can go find your combo. If you're playing the 3-3s, or you can just toolbox deck it.
But what do you mean? Only your combos involving 3-mana cross creatures? It's not X or less.
I understand that.
Okay.
I'm saying more of a toolbox deck, I understand that the combo decks all have smaller creatures than that. But for Coco decks, if you make a Coco toolbox 3-CMC creature type of deck, or things like that, or 2-CMCs, or whatever you may have you, I think it's a solid card for toolbox decks like that.
Gotcha.
It's a tool for the Malira decks. You know, the little combo. Malira combo?
The Malira combo only has one 3-3 that it needs, right?
I thought there's two. And then the Viscera Seer is like a single black.
Single black.
I think all the ones that prevent counters are all 2-mana.
Fantabulous!
Point being, I think it's a solid toolbox deck card.
Gotcha. I don't like this card. I just don't like it.
Obviously, you're building your deck around it, but that's what I'm saying. It's a toolbox one. Yeah. And then you can play every whatever fucking CMC cast card you want, and if you're playing Coco with it, it's just you've got your fucking way to go get everything you need.
Right. Yeah, I just don't like it. I don't know.
This next card, as soon as it comes out, it's going to be banned in EDH. So yeah. It's Razaketh, the Foul Blood. The Foul Blood. So 5, black, 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 for a 8/8 legendary creature, Demas.
Dingus.
Flying, Demanus. Trample, or as we like to say in the industry,
Flample.
Flample. pay 2 life, sacrifice another creature, search your library for a card, and put that card into your hand and shuffle your library.
Oh, my God.
So,
in standard or any other format? In EDH?
But Jesus Christ.
A tutor on a fucking stick?
Whenever you want to. Oh. Just tutor fucking all day. Gravecrawler, tutor all day, every day. Fill up your fucking hand, lose 10 life.
Oh, my God.
Just...
This is going to my zombie deck. This is going to my Mirren deck. This is just every black deck I conceivably have is going in there.
Yeah, thoroughly agree with you, sir.
Yeah, they're not going to see any. Yeah, how about this? The non-foils of this card should be literally free, because nobody's going to play the non-foil of this card in any fucking format. It's literally an unplayable card without being foil.
I mean, it's pretty much like that one demon when it enters the battlefield, go look for a card, except better.
Just so good.
Just amazing.
So fucking good.
Also, that's the third demon that Liliana has to fight and defeat to unlock her soul.
That is true.
Nice.
True story.
All right, I'm kind of skipping past some of this jank that's up top, whatever. I'm kind of not interested in a lot of this stuff.
All right, while you're looking then, Torment of Hailfire, X double black. Sorcery, repeat the following process X times. Each opponent loses 3 life unless that player sacrifices a non-land permanent or discards a card.
Oh, my God.
See, you would skip past this, but for me and Knife, come on, let's get a quick high-five, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ugh, this card. God, I love this.
You know what's funny?
Card.
That it's better than that 7-mana curse from last set. Mythic curse.
Mythic curse, yeah.
It's better than that.
Remorseless Punishment?
I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, the other one was bad, and this one's good. And it's way cheaper, and it's
uncomfortable. Oh, my God. I'm so happy.
Just, It's like fucking endgame fucking you're fucked.
Fucking you're fucked for
fucking
sure.
Fucking you're fucked.
You are fucked.
Yeah, it's pretty
disgusting.
And
it's non-land permanent, so it's not like, you know, at the end of the game, they're like, well, I have 8 lands. I can go ahead and sacrifice 3. No, you cannot. You have to sacrifice all your good shit, and you have to take life unless you want to discard, like, the remaining 1 or 2 cards that are
yeah,
in your hand.
It'll be a deck. On Modo, for sure, this will be a deck, a curse deck, or something like that. Maybe Modern, maybe Standard, I don't know. But either way, it'll definitely be a deck you will see floating around. That's I guarantee it.
And right next to that card goes really well with it. Torment of Scarabs for 3 and a black enchantment or a curse. Enchant player at the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep. That player loses 3 life unless he or she sacrifices an all-in permanent or discards a card.
So the same card.
It is on a stick. I want to play both of those together.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very badly. I love, like, my favorite form of removal thing is somebody sacrifice their creature. I think I'm gonna fucking sacrifice their artifacts and all that shit. This is like Black's way of like, getting rid of artifacts and crap like that. Like, obviously, they have to choose to do it, but if I'm forcing them to fucking do it. I'm forcing your bitch ass to fucking do it.
A MTGO budget deck running rampant, basically.
God, I'm hard.
Yeah, I'm so fucking hard right now. Overwhelming Splendor for me being super hard. It is 6 and white, 8 mana for an enchantment or a curse. Creatures enchanted player controls lose all abilities and have base power of toughness 1/1. And enchanted player can't activate abilities that aren't mana abilities or loyalty abilities. So this card is way expensive. But I cannot imagine the feeling you're going to have when all your creatures are fucking 1/1s and can't do what they want to do. Like, this is going to take a long time to get to, but I am looking forward to playing this in EDH. Like, this is just so sad for everybody else. This is so fucking sad. I know it's only 1 player, but still. 1/1s, dude, that's just...
Hey, you know what
just
white
feel
does...
Bads, bro.
You know what white does really good? Bounce permanents back to their owner's hand. So you're like, killed you off right before you die, bounce that back to my hand, and then I play it on you, sucker.
Sucker. Yeah. It's fucking, this card is insane. It deserves a mythic spot. This card is like just no fun magic, fun police. It's just really expensive, but it should be really expensive because this card would be banned in a second if it was like 5 or 6 mana. This is it's no fun to play against. People would be complaining about seeing this card, not be able to fucking kill it possibly because enchantments are pretty hard to kill in most cases. And it just fucks you over completely. It fucks your opponent over completely. So, yeah, I think the card's super sweet, though. But it's appropriately costed.
So, I've got an uncommon I want to talk about real quick. So, in that cycle of, like, the card Supreme Will, where it gives you a choice of one or the other for the Mana Leak card, the black one called Doomfall, I'm pretty happy with, man. Obviously, I'm a big fan of the cards that have the variations, give you choices on what you want to do. They're usually pretty powerful. And Doomfall is for 2 and a black. Choose 1, target opponent exiles a creature he or she controls. Or, target opponent reveals his or her hand, you choose a non-land card from it and exile that card. I'm pretty stoked on this card. Yes, it's 3 mana, a little more expensive than what you want for any kind of Thoughtseize situation. But the fact is, early game, you can fucking take care of what you want to get rid of. Late game, as you're already controlling the board, you make them sacrifice, or exile sacrifice, whatever the fuck they have on the board left. I just think it's a solid, solid card that I'm excited about personally. To have those fucking 2 modes on there.
I think it's
pretty
good. I think it's a good card.
Good.
It'll see play too. I think it's a good card.
Yep. I'll be playing that along that same deck of Torment of Hellfire and Torment of Scarabs.
So what about Refuse to Cooperate? Refuse reads... It's an instant for 4 mana, 3 and a red. Refuse deals damage to spells to target spells controller equal to that spell's converted mana cost. And then Cooperate is Aftermath, of course. Copy target instant or sorcery spell you may choose new targets for that copy. I just think this is a sweet-ass card and does a shit ton of damage, and you're able to copy something. And then the fucking Aftermath is an instant as well. So if you have the mana for it, you can do it all one turn or something like that. Aftermaths with instants that are instant are fucking great. And unlike the rest of them. So I'm excited for this. I think it's, you know, simple. Have seen similar things before, but I think it's very powerful.
Cool. Amnet Eternal for 2 and a black. 5/5. Zombie Crocodile Demon with Afflict 3.
Demas!
Whenever an opponent casts a spell, put a -1/-1 counter on Amnet Eternal. Whenever Amnet Eternal deals common damage to a player, remove all -1/-1 counters from it. It's just another one of those early game demons for black. And yes, it doesn't have flying, but it still has a flick 3. So now they're chump blocking your 5/5, but you're still hitting them for 3. And then you keep attacking enough into them. Yeah, they're making it smaller and smaller, but now their creatures are gone. You remove all those counters, and so if they don't get rid of it, it's going to be harder for them. It's going to be a recursion of effects and continue to go at their face. It's a black aggro card to add to the zombie deck.
But there's also so many awesome three-drop zombies. Like, I'd rather play Lord of the Accursed over this card, and I'd rather play the one that when you cast a zombie spell, you get a 2-2 zombie, and then it becomes, you know, whatever. When it enters the battlefield, it gets +1/+1 for each fucking zombie the battlefield or whatever. Anyways, the card is super good. Yeah, on the graveyard. The card's super good, but I feel like I can't have, like, you know, 12, 16 fucking 3-mana zombies in my deck.
I think this is more
of
a...
It's still good, though.
It's more of a card for the Hapatra deck. I mean, it just kind of goes into that style. And, you know, you play it on three, they play one, maybe two spells the next turn, and then you're able to attack in, and you're still getting three damage in, like, if they block or if they don't block.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I think there's some fun stuff that can be had with it.
Yeah,
I just, and then aggro kind of deck with it, like, you're just coming at their face, and...
Coming on their face.
Like that? Like wordplay?
Ooh, God, Pharaoh's Faithful, hot sauce, your favorite type of card.
What the fuck is this card?
For a single white, it's a 0/4 human wizard. Whenever you cast a blue, black, or red spell, you gain one life.
What the fuck is this card? I've seen it, but I don't even know where the hell you're looking at right now. Oh, you're way up there.
28.
Way up there. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite card ever. I think it's a good card, though. It's just not.
I don't know
where the fuck I'd even play it.
I think Ivan Flock's going to take this one to the Pro Tour, the final tables, take it down.
So we had this.
Like he does every time.
Every single. He's won every Pro Tour for the past 6 years.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I hate you guys.
So we have this land cycle, uncommon land cycle, all deserts, one for each color. It has tap ability for a colorless, tap ability for pay one life. You can add whatever color, you know, the black or blue or whatever else. And has a third ability where you get to pay some mana, tap it, and do a thing by sacrificing a desert. So it's like black is put -1/-1 counters on target creature. Red is do 2 damage to an opponent. Green is +3/+3 to a creature. And white is creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. Yeah, I think that they're like fine. They're uncommon. They're deserts to get in the graveyard. I think that it's good. Someone brought up a point about how it's going to be good with Eldrazi until they leave Standard. Mm. Because they are now... We have something that taps for colorless that isn't, like, you know, Aether Hub or whatever. And you still get to have it colored mana. And then there's still this little baby bonus on the back end of it that might be able to finish the game. But I feel like if it's an Eldrazi deck and you need colorless mana, then this is going to be good for it. Because Eldrazi can't really play Aether Hub. It's like, where's the rest of the energy coming from? You know what I mean? This one at least can pay one life and go ahead and get the red mana you need or whatever for it. So
you know what's another cool desert card? We have another desert rare land.
So yeah.
That's three fucking colorless rare lands.
Some beautiful, beautiful art.
It is. Endless Sands. It's a desert. Tap for colorless mana or pay two and tap it. Exile target creature you control. And they try to remove your creature. You say, no, I'll go ahead and keep this card. Pay four, tap this, sacrifice Endless Sands, return each creature card exiled with Endless Sands to the battlefield under its owner's control.
This card is sweet. I'm not sure where you play this, but it is a fucking sweet card.
Yeah.
I can see just having future potential for something like this. You know, obviously foils are going to look great. I just don't know what we're doing with it now because it seems like a very slow card.
Mm-hmm.
But, agreed. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I'm glad they made it. You know?
Solid, yeah. I think it's a viable card. It's fun. A card I'm pretty excited about, to be honest with you, is Imminent Doom. This is going to slot real well in Izzet Spell's decks. Imminent Doom for 2 and a red. It's an enchantment. Imminent Doom enters the battlefield with 1 Doom counter on it. Whenever you cast a spell with converted mana, it costs equal to the number of Doom counters on Imminent Doom deals that much damage to target creature or player. Then put a Doom counter on Imminent Doom.
All right, we're going to have a problem.
What's that?
We're going to have a problem.
The amount of times it says Imminent Doom on the card?
I think this card fucking sucks balls.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm a red player. I get that. I think this card is fucking bad. Like,
okay.
Really bad.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, I know. That's why we're going
to
have a problem
in the correct
here.
Deck. Because it needs to go... You're not looking for this for a fucking burn deck. This is not a burn deck card. This is it spells value burn you out while I'm
fine.
Casting my spells.
Talk me into it.
So, just along the same lines of Dynavolt Tower, where anytime you cast a non-creature spell, you put 2 energy on it, and then you have 5 energy. You use 5 energy to do 3 damage to a creature or player.
Yep.
This can take that place or go on the same deck in the sense of, like, you're just trying to counter shit, you're trying to burn them, their creatures off, you're trying to control the board, or is it spells, you're casting all kinds of different spells from low mana to high mana, and you're just continuing to gain value off it. You sit there, you play this, you're picking off their creatures, or if you don't have creatures, you burn their face a little bit, you control the board with picking the creatures off each time as you're doing extra shit, as you're drawing cards, you're doing things. And then late game, as it isn't spells, you can do things like Rise from the Tides and draw a bunch of zombies on them and just play all spells deck.
Okay. Let me get some words in here.
Okay.
This card requires you to have certain converted mana costs. So mm-hmm. when you play this on turn three, on turn four, you need to have a one mana spell. And then after that, you need to have a two mana spell. And after that, you need to have a three mana spell, so on and so on and so on. So you are relying on this not being a dead card because you have to have a one mana spell in standard.
You know what goes well with that?
Go.
The card that I liked before, the Simic card for one blue, Scry 3.
Mm-hmm.
That helps you find your next cards that have converted mana costs that go into what you need to cast next.
So you get card disadvantage and do one damage to something. Okay, now talking into the 2-drop. What's going on with 2-drop?
And then you're controlling the board with Essence Scatter, Negate, making them not be able to drop the next thing.
Okay.
You pick out the creature they've already played on turn 2.
So Essence Scatter or Negate is going to be the 2, and then what's on 3?
3. We got some draw spells in there, don't we? To go through every card in standard, I'm saying, like, yes, you have to build around this deck to make it that way. But I think it's a card to look into, and it's a card that I'm interested in because I enjoy building around enchantments. One of my favorite things to do, and I like is it spells. So for me, I'm going to try this card out. You may be right, and maybe a piece of shit.
I think this card is the biggest trap that has been printed in 2 years. This card is like an imminent trap. I swear to God, this card just... I will put money. This card, it cannot be good. It cannot be fucking good. If it is even in a storm deck or something like that, or, you know, I'm not saying it wouldn't be in there. I'm saying that even in a scenario where you're looking to cast all the spells in one turn, the maximum you're going to get is 4. And that's going to be 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, which is good.
My answer is the 3 pieces of the puzzle. Then I'm finding the next instant sorcery I need.
That's fine. That is like... You still had to have that.
Even
that
Glimmer of Genius.
You literally needed to have that one mana spell in your hand to even get started, and you might not even have that card. You're only playing, you know, 8
Shock.
Of those spells. Yeah, you're only playing 8 one drops at the most Magma probably spray. In this deck, and then you're probably gonna be through 2 of them. It's just such a fucking trap, dude. It's so bad. This card sucks.
I can understand your point entirely. I get it, but for me, I've made cool versions of Dynavolt Tower decks, and now there's actually one that are being played in standard. There's blue red spells decks, and they're using Dynavolt Tower.
Sometimes. Dude, Dynavolt Tower is a great card.
Agreed.
I play
4 of those in that deck. Imminent Doom, I put two copies in that deck. Because of the added value of me already casting spells, me trying to counter your creatures, and when I counter this creature, counter this spell, I'm killing off the creature you have on the field. And I'm controlling the board until I get to a point where now I get to put the damage at your face.
Right.
And so, you're right. This may be a piece of shit. And there's plenty of things you have to do to build around it. For me, I'm going to try.
I just think it is a piece of shit. It's a fucking piece of hot, steaming garbage. This card fucking blows. And I hate it so much, even though I kind of liked it when I read it the first time. I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And then I'm thinking about it. I'm like, no, it's a fucking trap. Why is it got to be like, can't it just be like extra less? Why can't it be like where I have to find the one drop, but then I can cast a 1 or 2 drop? Or now I can cast a 1, 2, or 3 drop and be at that. And I still not even that good of a card, even if it has that. It'd be good, but it wouldn't be like too good.
Also play As We're Told with this deck.
As We're Told is a fucking great card. That's a great card. Luckily, that just, like,
but then,
happens.
Yeah.
That deck, luckily, just... It after time, it just fucking happens.
Yeah.
This fucking card is just pile of shit, dude.
Well,
pile of fucking, like, watery baby puke fucking poopies, dude.
You're probably right, but it's a card that I want to build around.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, it's totally for me.
If you're able to hit those spells and play it right and just draw cards and get the next cards you need... You're able to fucking just control the board with extra free.
So I was thinking about it with tiny leaders, because then I'll have all the 1, 2, and 3s all I need to get up there.
Yeah, then
but then, no, there's X spells after that. So I have Balefire or Banefire or whatever it is. Shit like that I can put X into, and I'm like, all right, cool, maybe I can actually get up to, 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's going to be 10 damage out of this card. And even then I'm like, I don't want to fucking wait 4 turns for this thing to do anything. Like, God damn it, But that would totally get me to... I can definitely get to 3 counters with tiny leaders. But, yeah, this card is fucking... Yeah, no. No, just fucking no.
Tell you what, I'm also going to put in my Locust God deck.
Do it.
I will.
Do it.
I promise I will.
Do it. So, okay. Let's see here. We have a bunch of shit that I kind of don't care about.
Did you already talk about the horse?
No. Oh, the horse. Talk about the horse.
The horse. The crested sunmare for 3 white-white. It's 5/5 creature horse. Kind of has a sweet little goatee going on. Other horses. Other horses. Other horses you control have indestructible. At the beginning of each end step, if you gain life this turn, create a 5/5 white horse creature token.
This card
token
is so good. This card is fucking so... Dude, if you figured out a way... Because it's not legendary either, so you can play a lot of these. You'd have 4 of them in the deck. You can gain life on your turn. You can gain life on your opponent's turn by playing maybe like a little simple instant, or having lifelink on a creature and blocking, or just having one of the artifacts that literally just gain 1 life for 1 mana or whatever, or even that one that's discard a card, gain 3 life, that little, like, whatever, the chick on the porch, old grandma with her fucking southern tea and all that shit. Have that. You literally create 15 power, 10 of it being indestructible, within one turn cycle. Like...
At the beginning of each end step.
Each end step.
Right.
Yeah.
So each turn cycle. Oh, you're talking about like EDH?
No, I'm talking about on your turn, you can make a 5/5 if you had lifelink that, or gain life that turn. You get 10 power on your turn. And then if you can gain life on your opponent's turn, you get another 5/5. By the time your opponent's turn is over, you have 15 power, 10 of it indestructible.
Gotcha.
And potential to make more. And it's huge, and it avoids, you know, it's 5 booty, so it avoids a lot of nonsense. It avoids fucking fatal push even with the other stuff. Like,
and it has a sweet beard.
Fuck. It has a fucking sweet everything. It's a goddamn horse. Horse tokens are fucking rad. Dude, I just... I don't know if I'm going to play it, but I'm looking at this card like, this is too much. This is too big. It's too big.
Too buku.
So,
it's fucking awesome, man.
On turns 1, 2, 3, play, you know, like, some sort of life gain spells.
Remember, like, the fucking... the life gaining, what's the fucking 2/3 with life link or life link and death touch? They have that new one that has
life link
and vigilance 2/3 flyer.
The one you can exert.
No, not the one you can exert. The fucking what? God damn it! What's the fucking the demon flyer that really the uncommon 2/3 with death touch and life link? The one we've played for 10 years.
Oh,
your favorite salty modern card.
Vampire Nighthawk. And then Vampire Lifehawk, right?
Yeah, the Lifehawk.
You get that, and that's with flying, so you're pretty much going to get in the damage, like more or less. They're probably going to chump with a Thopter if they can.
Ooh, I kind of want to build this deck now, because
it's
crazy. You play, 1, 2, 3 drops that can gain you life in the future, and then on 4, you play Anointed Procession, which doubles the tokens. You play this, you gain life. Horses everywhere!
I think that it can just really, really kill shit. Like, it can really get out of hand, dude.
Just gotta do the Monty Python with having the guys around you with the coconuts.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. The only thing that they have. Yeah, that card, I think this card is fucking amazing. But I just don't know... I don't know if it's gonna be good enough to really, like, top 8 something.
Oh, no,
I think
definitely.
It'll be a super strong casual fucking card, like a
To fuck around on MTGO.
If you got any time at all, you're gonna fucking win, like, so fast, dude, so fucking fast if this thing sticks around.
So I got a card that I want to talk about that basically has me excited to build a deck around it. Abandoned Sarcophagus, 3 mana artifact. You may cast cards with cycling from your graveyard. If a card was cycling, put it in your graveyard from anywhere and it wasn't cycled, exile instead. So a lot of these cycle cards have early game, you want, like, they're higher cost, or early game you just cycle them away, and then late game you draw them. This is the card, like Razaketh's Rite for 3 black-black, sorcery, search your library for a card and put that card into your hand, then shuffle your library, cycling of a single black. Early game you cycle this away, you play Drakehaven as well, so you're cycling cards through, getting fucking 2/2 Drakes, cycling your early game away, and as you get into the later game, you get to go search exactly what you want with Razaketh's Rite. You get to go do things like that and get all your cycling cards you cast before, like Censor,
that
you cycled away, or whatever like that. You get to recast things like that, and it's a deck that's exciting to me to build around. Early game, cycle shit away, and then late game, bring it all fucking back.
I like this card for the simple reason that it allows your graveyard to be an extension of your hand.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. I don't think this card's very good, but I think that...
I think it can be a lot of fun.
It literally fits into one deck, but I mean, I think that it's just cool to have maybe your hand being three cards and having an additional three cards in your graveyard that are you're just allowed to cast whenever you want. You can censor something from the graveyard and have it just in the graveyard without your opponent even really knowing. They have to remember it because it's just in a big stack. You're not even spreading it out. You're just like, oh, you play that? Okay, really quick, let me go and look through my graveyard. Oh, yeah, censor. And it's just like, oh, yeah, I forgot that you drew a card off cycling censor earlier, and now you just countered my shit, and that sucks really bad. So
and that four mana fucking draw two cards. Well, early game, you cycle away to draw a card.
Yeah, you draw one card, then you draw two more. Yeah. Oh, my God, that sounds great.
Know what
that
I mean?
And it's instant speed.
And like earlier, oh, like last, yeah, when the last time was spoiled, you were really excited to build around Drake Heaven. I don't think you actually did that yet, but like Drake Heaven.
I did. It didn't work out.
So, I think now that gives you the late game that you probably didn't have with Drakehaven before.
That's true.
I think that Knife taught us that the black one's better. That's really all it came down to. And it's like, yeah, I think just straight up just attrition is probably just the better way.
But
to
you
go
just
here.
Do both. You do all those in the same.
I tried to do both. I kind of just think
But now you can bring
better.
Them all back later with the sarcophagus. I'm just saying, like, I think it's a fun card to build around. I'm not saying
it's
top eight standard play, but that's the type of card that I like to build around. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about
it. I think it's a cool card.
It'll be like a fun concept deck.
Yeah. Reich is not here, but he would be talking about Life Goes On. It's one green, instant. You gain four life. If a creature died this turn, you gain eight life instead. So,
yeah.
The thing is with this is that, to be honest, I mean, you already see that other two mana spell in like some modern sideboards against like burn and shit like that. Like it is a sideboard card that does see play. The fucking
feed the clan.
There you go. This one's kind of just better and it's cheaper and it's still instant speed. So like, you know, I think that people will play it. Let's just say that I think people will play it. So it's not exciting. I'm not interested, but I think it'll be see play for sure.
So,
sideboards.
By no means is this card fantastic. It was whatever. It's a simple draw card spell. But I want to talk about it because it's probably the most brutal artwork we've seen in a hot minute. Tragic Lesson for two and a blue.
Oh, dude. I was looking at the artwork and I'm like, is that
really my
God. The card? Like
there's
really
just
it?
Half the fucking artist blood just gushing out of fucking the god's head.
Kefnet's head.
Kefnet is dead and he is fucking bleeding like a chick on a heavy flow period.
Yeah, and his followers are like crying and like screaming for him, you know, and It's morbid, dude.
Oh my,
it's
like, so, oh, man. You read the flavor text?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Though Kefnet's followers feverishly searched his last words for some final riddle, they found only the gurgles of
a dying god.
Oh, that's like a metal song right there.
Yeah, this card is fucking brutal, man.
It is. It is. I'm glad you brought it up, because that, looking at this art, I looked at it for a while, like, just looking at this art. Oh, my God.
It's like
God.
It's a draw card
I'm
spell.
I'm sad right
it
now.
It needs to be blue, but that needs to have, like, a black frame around it, man. That thing is fucking gnarly. So, yeah, I need to bring it up for that fact.
Yeah, well, go ahead and read what it says.
Draw two cards and discard a card unless you return a land you control to its owner's hand.
I mean,
that actually plays well with Kefnet.
Yeah, that plays well with Kefnet. That plays well with a lot of other formats. I'm thinking like
Landfall.
Landfall or Bajuka Bog.
Bajuka!
So, Bog. I don't know. I think that's a fucking very underrated, awesome card, especially Divination at instant speed. And if you're putting it in a deck, that downside is going to become an upside.
So I want to talk about something that I find is one of the most powerful cards in the set. We skip past it. I don't really know how. Majestic Meriarch. It is four and a green. Five mana for a Chimera. Power and toughness of this creature are each equal to twice the number of creatures you control.
Oh, geez. I didn't read that part.
At the beginning of each combat, if you control a creature with flying, this thing gains flying until end of turn. The same is true with first strike, double strike, death touch, haste, hexproof, indestructible, lifelink, menace, reach, trample, and vigilance. I don't know what this really is going to find in standard as far as getting a top 8 finish or something like that. But this card is way too powerful. This card is really, really fucking big. If you're playing, you're going to have the upper hand if you're playing a fringe deck and you're playing on Modo and people are not ready for something like this. This thing could literally come down as a 10-10 with haste and just win the game right there, and you're not even fucking ready for it. You could just build your deck around just kind of like the Soul Flayer deck or something like that, and you have a couple creatures that are really not that big a deal. This thing comes down, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, do I just fucking die here? I tapped out, and now they're playing this weird fringe creature, and I literally just die. Well, that sucks.
It's called keywords.deck.
Yeah.
That's what it
is. Dude, seriously.
Here's our vital
two,
though.
Man.
My rebuttal to you is yes, I'll give it the fact that it has double the power for my creature you control. That's pretty sweet. That's something I can't skip past, to be honest with you. That's good. However, we've seen a multitude of cards that do this. We saw that fucking white creature did the exact same effect in fucking just in Eldritch Moon.
Right.
And we see like Soul Flare and things like that, and people try to do things with them. They never quite work out.
Yes, and so, I agree, because it's not exciting for that.
I think, you know, even though this has double power, so there's a chance, and maybe that makes it a little better, I think this is another card that's going to go in that tier 3, someone's going to try to make a deck, and ain't going to do shit deck.
Yeah, I think it's going to be better than that. So we'll have to go on the record saying that.
I'm not only saying on history-wise, we've seen a myriad of these decks, and they're never
good. I think the creature's just too fucking big. That's what I really think. The creature's just, it's just too fucking big, man.
I don't know, man. I played a Frontier deck against someone who was running the Soul Flare, and like that deck actually has legs in that particular format. So, I mean, I think there's a little glisten of hope. Maybe not in Standard, but somewhere else it can be that tier 3 sort of gotcha sort of deck. But I mean, like the whole point of that deck was the dude was playing a bunch of creatures you didn't want to waste kill spells on.
I think you would just play this deck as a green white. That's what you would be, the cards you'd be using. And white has double strike. White has, you know,
lifelink flying.
Yeah, lifelink and flying. Vigilance. I think, vigilance. I think if you can land this as an 8/8 with two keywords for 5 mana, I mean, fuck, man. That's just big, dude. That's just really big. You have to have a specific removal for it. You can't grasp it. You can't fucking burn it. You can't fatal push it. Like,
you have it's hard, man. You have to give it haste, though. Because
I think haste is very good. Very important for this, too.
Yeah, because it has to be a gotcha moment. It can't be like, oh, hey, this is what I'm going to do next turn.
Oh, watch out.
Better do something. Yeah. So I think you need, I mean, I don't know what cards in the set and what colors have haste, but you might need to throw
typically
some red.
I don't see it. I kind of see what you're saying, though. I don't see it being a top 8 card, but I see it being like, I literally see it being tier 2, not tier 3. Like, this card is fucking, it's just big, man. It's really big. And if you can get two keywords on this thing, I just don't know what ways there are to really kill it without wiping the board in Standard. There's not a lot of shit that gets played that'll kill anything. So, it's going to be bigger than your shit. Even if it doesn't have Trample or Flying, I mean, when this thing attacks and it's an 8/8, like, what do you fucking do with that? You just have to chump it and that's all you do?
Play, Vampire Lifehawk.
Yeah. Vigilance, Lifelink, 8/8. That sounds pretty fucking good for 5 mana.
And
it's not multiple... And not multiple green. It's flying. Not multiple green. So you can... It's literally meant to be played with 2 or 3 color decks. So it doesn't have double green in the casting cost. Super easy to, like, get this in there. Oh, man. I think this card is...
I like how we're coming all over these, like, tier 3, tier 2 fucking decks.
That's what we do.
Yeah. It's just great. We're like, yeah, this is good. But this...
So I want to talk about like probably my favorite common of the set, strategic planning. For one in a blue sorcery, look at the top 3 cards of your library, put one of them into your hand, and the rest into your graveyard. I wish it was an instant, but the fact that most of these kind of cards, or you look at the top 3, they usually go on the bottom of your library. The fact that I get to throw them in the graveyard is a pretty fucking good.
It's got
bonus.
The Gatewatch on the fucking card art. You don't want that.
Oh, fuck Gideon, but I don't. Whatever. The fact that I get to throw those cards in the graveyard, I'm really excited.
Yeah, we have compelling deterrence.
We also already have Grapple.
What does that one do? What does compelling deterrence do?
Basically the same thing.
And Grapple's better than this card anyways, too. And that's an instant, so...
Oh, whatever. I still like this card.
Still good, though.
Oh, my God. They did the thing that
they
do in
the
movies.
They did the thing.
Oh, man. Guess what this card's called? Hour of Devastation.
They did it! Oh, my God!
The name of the set! Yeah. Oh. So three red, sorcery, all creatures lose indestructible until end of turn. Hour of Devastation deals 5 damage to each creature and each non-bolus planeswalker.
Oh, that's actually pretty good.
And that art, though.
That is pretty sick. That is a demonizing bolus right there.
It's a red board wipe that's not Anger and Sweltering Sun, so I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'm down. I don't know if the indestructible is going to have, like... I think it'll hit like one out of every 10 games, probably. You know, I don't think it's going to be so often that you're just facing down gods.
But it's a soul to have on there. Like, why? It's
yeah,
good
no, it's
that
fun.
It's on there.
I think more importantly, though, if it didn't have that, I'm glad that it has it to fucking planeswalkers, too.
Yeah.
5 damage to planeswalkers is pretty fucking sweet.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, I think this card
just
is sweet.
A bit.
I just don't know how much we're going to see it. And even if we do see it, it's probably a one of in a deck. I don't think it's like even a two or a three of in a deck. I think it's good.
Oh man, we got a functional reprint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of skipping up. I'm sorry. Overcome, three green sorcery creatures you control get +2/+2 and gain trample until end of turn.
I like that instead of overrun, it's overcome.
Yeah.
You guys are so silly. Because
there's horses. Nay.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple, but limited will be really sweet.
Shun the non-believer.
Obelisk Spider. 1 black-green for a 1/4 with reach, because it's a spider, and those are the stats for spiders. When this thing deals combat damage to a creature, put a -1/-1 counter on that creature. Whenever, which is not relevant, whenever you put one or more 1/1 counters on a creature, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. That is relevant. So it's just going to be in that deck you're talking about, and it'll be good, not great, but it'll totally see play, and it has a big body for blocking, so I see this being a 4 of in that deck without really any issue.
So yeah. I just want to say before we like get on to all these like commons and uncommons, that at least for me, this is the first time I'm seeing some of these cards.
Yeah, me too.
So I might be a little bit more. And you said you didn't look, or you did look through them, Hot Sauce?
I already looked through these cards, okay. Yeah.
And just real quick to step back to Overcome, it's not actually a reprint. Overrun is +3/+3. So this is actually smaller.
Yeah. That's why, yeah. He said the words that I was thinking of. He did it.
So, real quick, for Apocalypse Demon, 4 black-black. It's not fantastic, but it can also be, it could be very good. And the fact that, I'll just read it real quick. So it's a 4 black-black demon, star, flying. Apocalypse Demon's power and toughness are equal number of cards in your graveyard. At the beginning of your upkeep, tap attack Apocalypse Demon unless you sacrifice another creature. That free sac outlet is a thing that I really like to do in EDH. It's just a lot of fun, and it helps out a lot of things to have free sac outlets. It just makes things go a lot smoother in zombie decks and things like that. So it's a card that, it's not something like, oh my god, this is fantastic, but it's a card I'm going to look at for those kind of decks.
Yeah. So the rest of the commons and uncommons is really not much to talk about. I'll get on to like a couple, but like Blur of Blades. 1 in a red, instant. Put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. This thing deals 2 damage to that creature's controller. So it's just it's a 2-mana instant that probably will kill something, more or less, or interact with something else that you have, and it does 2 damage. So it's not exciting, it's just common. But I see that this will be a hot pickup in limited. That if you see this thing, you're like, yeah, I'm fucking getting those. Like, that's just damage right there, dude. And maybe kill something. So, like, why not? Nice, you know, middle of combat. -1/-1 counter. So, yeah, I think that's a good card. But there's really not a whole lot going on here. There's just a lot of...
Do you know what I'm excited about?
Ruin Rat?
Well, no.
I mean, kind
of. Right next to it. Right next to it. They haven't printed a wall in a while. We got a zombie wall.
Nice.
It's a 2 and a black 05 defender recycling 2, but it's a zombie wall creature. Oh my god, and it's so cool.
It might see limited play if you have nothing else to play.
And Ruin Rat for 1 and a black. 1/1 rat. Death touch. When it dies, exile target card from opponent's graveyard.
That's a mean looking rat. I wouldn't fuck with that guy.
Yeah, he's like,
he's got that look. Like, I'm gonna bite your nut off, bitch. Back up.
You just walked in the room when he was like, you know, cleaning this bone.
My precious.
And he's like, you better just keep walking.
So another Christopher Walken. Good ass limited card, Banewhip Punisher, 2 and a black. It's 2/2, human warrior. When it enters battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. You can play black and sack this dude and then destroy target creature that has a -1/-1 counter on it. So it'll be a hot pickup unlimited. It's not exciting. It's not going to see standard play. But I think that any creature that can, you know, interact with the -1/-1 counters, and then you can fucking sack it to destroy something, that's relevant. I think it's a good card.
Card I'm stoked on that hasn't been printed in standard in like 5 years, Unsummon. Reprint of Unsummon. Single blue, instant, return target creature to its owner's hand. I'm a big fan of bounce and that's what I'm looking for, tempo play. So I'm really happy to have Unsummon back. Brings it to the front of your format as well, and I'm stoked.
So you guys noticed that Living End, right, where you destroy all creatures and then bring back whatever's in the graveyard.
Yeah.
So Living End has like become popular again because cycling is like the main part of that deck.
Oh, yeah, they got some really big booties now.
So they got Striped River Winder. It is a 7-mana 5/5, not relevant in any fucking way. But it is a cycling for 1 blue, which is exactly where you want to be with that deck, and it's a hexproof 5/5.
Mm-hmm.
So the cards that are in that deck, the foils have gone up by a lot. So this card, I think, because it has hexproof, can definitely be in that deck.
Yeah.
So you can play this. You can play that one that came out last set that gets +2/+1 every time you cycle or discard a card. And there's that 4/4 Sphinx that has one blue cycling, so it's a 4/4 flyer when it comes back. I think that this set, like, it kind of just wiped out all the creatures that they had previously, and now the deck is all brand new with the creatures because all these creatures are better than what was previously cycling. Except for Street Wraith is still really good because it doesn't involve any mana. But, yeah, I think you're already... We kind of gave them 20 creatures from the last two sets to make that deck even better, so...
Yeah.
And it was already a good deck.
So pretty much every set, we always get some, like, 3-4 mana cost of Drake. And it's usually just a basic flyer, good for limited. We have probably one of the single best 3 cost of Drakes ever printed in this one. For 2 and a blue, it's a 2/2 flyer. Whenever Ariel got attacked, another target attacking creature gains flying until end of turn. It's just a solid. That's a fuck you limited card right there.
That's like the fucking
the Eldrazi one,
the Condor from M14.
Yeah, it's super good though.
Yeah.
This card is like really good.
Killer fucking limited.
Yeah, the card is pretty outstanding. I mean, a lot of this shit is just kind of limited fodder. I mean, there's like some, you know, you got to have removal in each color. Some of these things are just like, you know, red has deal 5 damage and whatever else. It's not really anything too fucking exciting. There was one card I actually wanted to go back that I just remembered that we kind of passed up.
Train Condor.
Hour of Promise. So there's 5 cards that have Hour of in it, and these are all story cards. They have like the little magic symbol in the background. This one's 4 and a green. It's a rare sorcery. Search your library for up to 2 land cards, just 2 land, not basics or none of that weird shit. Put them onto the battlefield tapped and shuffle your library. Then, if you control 3 or more deserts, create 2/2 black zombie creature tokens. I don't know if this is going to be relevant with the zombies, but I do know that I'm already playing, you know, that fucking exploding vegetation for 4 mana, and that only gets basics. This one gets non-basics, which means that you can get really cool shit in EDH to fuck everything up. So you can grab your Bajuka Bog, and you can grab, you know, one of those lands that, I don't know, like filters through your deck, whatever, you know, draw a discard card or something like that, or an Eldrazi Temple, or I don't know, whatever the fuck card is relevant to you that's a land card, you can go ahead and grab those right away, and I think that this will, it's just better than Explosive Vegetation. I already play that in every green deck, so.
How much is it?
It's 5 mana.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
And, do you really read the bottom part of it? The desert part?
Yeah, but I don't think it's relevant. But yeah, I mean, you can make,
it's just,
you can
well,
make
4 the amount of deserts in this set, I'm not, obviously that's better for other sets, but for this set, there's a good amount of legitimate desert cards to be played. So if you actually control 3 deserts, you also get 2/2 black zombie tokens. Like, that's pretty solid. I think people will be playing these desert lands. Like, there's some good ones in here that do little extra value things. There's the rare desert lands as well. I think it's viable for that.
I was hoping it would say something like, if you have, you know, 3 deserts either on the battlefield or in your graveyard, I think that would be better.
Yeah, I agree too. Because
you want deserts
to
go in the and you want the deserts to go in the graveyard because that's where some synergy happens, and that's because they have abilities that sacrifice deserts and put them in your graveyard. So I was hoping for that, but regardless, it's a better Explosive Vegetation, and that's a fucking great card. So I think we're pretty much wrapped up with that.
Yeah, I think this looking like a little fun set.
I think it's pretty solid. The prices are super low. If you're on the pre-sale right now, so like the first page of TCG Player, which I think is like 10 cards or something like that, like the lowest on that first page is already like $4. Like, there's really not much going on as far as pricing. Even the gods are not worth that much money. You know, I'm sure the foils will be high, but it seems like you could probably buy in pre-sale right now on cards you want and probably not lose that much money, because I think that this is a big potential for cards to spike like crazy since they haven't been overpricing shit. So, I mean, of course, some things are going to be overpriced because they'll go down to bulk rares, but there's going to be 2 or 3 breakout cards guaranteed that... Because every set has to have value in it, right? Some cards just have to come and have to be make the set worth it to buy a booster box. And it just kind of makes that every set has to have an expected value of, like, $70 a booster box or something like that. And the way to figure that out is not going to be through the invocations, whatever. It'll be through, some of these cards eventually going up. So, I don't know what cards are going to be, but I think that we have some $4 cards that will be 10. Probably 2 or 3 of them. So.
Dude, I just saw a comment that's actually pretty sweet I want to talk about.
What's up?
Wretched Camel for 1 and a black creature, zombie camel. 2/1 body. When Wretched Camel dies, if you control a desert or there's a desert card in your graveyard, target player discards a card.
Right?
I think that's pretty fun.
Yeah, that'll be a fun card.
I enjoy cards like that where, like, black creatures, when they die, they discard a card. Your opponent discards a card.
Shit, you might even play it in Constructed, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, the sacrificing effects and things like that. Like, yeah, it's a card I would look and play. And typically, cards that do that, like, the last one we had was that elf. For, it was 3 mana. And that was the same thing. It was a 3-1 body. But for 3 mana, when it dies, target player discards a card. So, like, having that 2 mana, it's just that much better.
Yep.
So, the top 2 cards in price for presale, Scarab God and Nicol Bolas. I think Scarab God will go down because it's... Unless somehow it ends up at the top end of a zombie deck, it's not going to happen.
And what's that right now, like $11?
It's $9.37 plus shipping.
Yeah, so I like see $10. It staying around there pretty much, or going down to maybe $6. But yeah, that's probably fair price for
and
it.
And a lot of these zombie decks, like, they're not playing blue-black. It's either mono-black or black-white. So unless they figure out how to, like, work in this in the top end, I don't think it's going to see much standard play. And Nicol Bolas, I mean, I think people are just going to jam him no matter what. Like, even
how
if...
How much is Nicol Bolas right now?
Pretty much, like, right under that. So, like, $9.50. I can't believe, like,
Nicol Bolas will go up.
Planeswalker's, like, pre-sale for more, and it's Nicol Bolas, man.
I will,
like,
guarantee that, yeah, Nicol Bolas will go up to $20.
Well, there's also what they call the Jace tax of they'd rather be wrong than sorry about pre-order sales for Planeswalkers.
Yes, but this should have been higher then in that same case. That should be a more expensive card, so we're not...
Yeah,
we're not worried about it.
We don't see Planeswalkers pre-sale that low.
There's, yeah.
Every set until this point right now, the last, I don't know, 7 sets, there's been a Planeswalker that's, like, you know, been, like, so talked up and, like, pre-selling for $50.
Even the
and
X...
And idiots buying it for $50, even though it's going to go way down from there.
Dude, even the X-cost Nissa was pre-selling for $25.
So, but, I mean, this is 8 mana. So, like, think about how much... Garruk, Apex Predator, that's a good fucking Planeswalker. That's
really,
really fucking good. Yeah. And he, you know, the pre-sale and the initial price and all that was, like, still pretty low just because of the playability of the card and standard.
I'm saying $20. I'm saying $20.
Yeah, I think it'll go up to that.
For sure for that card.
I think the other part is it being, you know, Grixis and being 3 mana is a factor. Like, is Ugin is also 8 mana, but that's colorless. And go whatever fucking
deck
you want.
You know what would be great if that, when the prices actually come out and the foils are like $18, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, brother. I'm totally buying those things too. Yeah. Brother. Fuck yeah, brother.
Brother.
We're two of the three of us are wearing no sleeves right now because it is almost America's birthday and we needed to show our fucking American pride.
Yeah, somebody was ready for it. Somebody cut their sleeves off minutes before the podcast.
And one of us has, I don't even know what the fuck this guy's wearing.
I always wear sleeves in my vest, at least. Sleeveless.
just 3 layers, but no sleeves on each one.
Yeah, how the fuck are you not, like, sweating?
Oh, I
dude?
Am.
What the?
Oh, I am. His hair was, like, way taller. It had way more volume. Now it's all flat.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's okay. I have no idea. I'm just
all right, well, that's it for this episode of If Lands Could Kill. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, we will be featured on another website, which we will go into further detail in our next episode, but look for us on another platform of magic podcasting entertainment and such debauchery.
Ooh.
But
on the ground floor, son.
On the ground floor. Ding, ding. Yeah, going up, please.
Level up. Experience counters gained.
Straight to the Morrow level.
We'll be on the mothership in no time.
I'm really glad you guys talked about those storyboard cards, because they're just my favorite, and they really illuminate the story about the Gatewatch. Even though you guys are sick of it, I just really appreciate that you guys brought it up.
Morrow, where the hell did you come from?
I'm like Beetlejuice. Do you say my name enough times, and I just appear?
Okay, well, get the fuck out of here. Morrow. Oh, God.
Look at him run.
I know, dude.
What a weirdo.
He's fast.
He's got kind of a skip to his jog.
Anyways.
Is that a rainbow?
Coming out of his ass?
We'll be on the mothership tomorrow. That's it for this episode. All the information is in the show notes, so check it out. And as always, you know, hit us up on Twitter. Shoot us some reviews on wherever. You know, just come to my house, fuck my girlfriend, whatever.
Dick pics.
I don't know. But, you know, get at us. So that's it. I'm Knife City.
Sewing Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
And we'll catch you guys later.
Open that garage door.
Fuck. God damn it.
It is moist. Moist.
Moist towelette.
I don't know how you guys can say it. This is a four-inch truck.
Fuck yeah, America, fuck.